Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. Adrian, Adrian in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in.
Yes,
look,
sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you the message.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the
mouth
to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live and live.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live and live.
From politics to the current events, economics and race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live and live.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live and live.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Well, peace and blessings. It's your girl, Bree. And welcome to the Bree Life Radio Show, where we like to have provocative dialogue in order to provoke peripheral thought. Tonight, a great topic we're going to be discussing, internet versus conventional dating. What's the difference? And without further ado, I want to introduce my co-host, Red Sable.
Hello, everyone. Peace and blessings. I'm a little distracted.
Blessings.
They are celebrating Halloween early. Everything's going great. It's, you know, it is great. What it is. Kids are scaring me. It's that time of the season where I'm freaked out because, you know, people want to put on scary costumes and beg you for stuff. It's like, oh, my goodness, I hate this time of year. It really, really is way too much for me. I can't take it.
Well,
so
we're going to try to bring in a bring in the evening with a lighter, unscary topic for some of us, not you, and that is internet dating. Internet dating versus conventional dating. But before we get into the topic, I'd like to begin by sending out my heartfelt condolences to the Golding family as they lost their patriarch, Mr. Aubrey Golding, who was 98 years old. He passed away this morning. So we at the Bree Life Radio Show, we just want to send our love to the family. And may he rest in peace.
Absolutely.
Also, I want to recognize again, since we only have one more week of October left, that October is not only Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but it also is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I've been great honor to be asked to participate in an event that's going to be taking place tomorrow, and it's going to be sponsored by Marie Joseph of PUC, which is a domestic violence collective here in Brooklyn. And they're going to have a domestic violence forum that me, myself, Bree, of Bree Life Radio, is going to be speaking at. And our good friend Carl Joseph of Jericho Roads will be there, along with the special assistant to the mayor's office and other media sources. So for all of those that support the domestic violence cause and would like to participate, please visit me at Bree Life Radio at Facebook, where I will be putting up the information tonight at the end of the show on how you could participate and be present for the forum. So let me just take the time to discuss with my protagonist co-host here, Red. Internet versus dated. We got a great show lined up. We're going to be joined tonight, and our first guest, her name is Patricia Ellie. She is the founder of MahoganyLinks.com, and she'll be joining us shortly after our first commercial break. But, Red, this is a topic you know, we have touched on at Bree Life Radio, and I just want to know, what do you think about internet dating versus conventional dating?
Okay, well, let me just first say, as Red Sable, I do not want anyone to think that my views are necessarily those of Bree Life Radio. Just want to start by saying that. I just don't get the whole, I want to meet somebody behind a machine so I can create a persona in the hopes that I will intrigue them enough so that they will want to meet with me. And hopefully they are who they say they are so that I can build a future with them. I don't get that. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's a disconnect there because you don't know what you're dealing with. So my question is, years ago we used to have party lines, and I think they still do have some sort of party lines on now. So what is the difference between party lines and internet dating? That's my question.
Well, of course, internet dating allows you to create a profile in which you can or choose not to put your picture up. And you give some basic stats about yourself, your age, your body structure, the age range of a person that you're interested in meeting. There are sites that are strictly heterosexual, and then there are sites that offer a gambit of and an array of preferences, but I don't want to eke you out too much, so let's stay with the conventional stuff tonight because that's a future show where we'll be talking about sexual disorders and people who are addicted to internet dating, but an alternative lifestyle. They live alternative lifestyles. They on the outside, it appears that they're conventional, but they really have an innate need for diversity in their social choices. So we'll touch on that in a future show, but because you already eked out by Halloween, I don't want to scare you any further, Reg. That's the typical internet dating website, conventional website. You put up a picture, you put your stats up, your age, your body structure. If you have children, now they're getting very granular where they're asking you specific questions. Do your children live at home with you? And how many children do you have? And then you put a profile, you write some information about who you are, what you like to do, and what you're interested in, and the type of person that you hope to meet, versus what you just asked me about, the party line. If it's my understanding, party lines give you a telephone number, and I believe they used to be, back in the day, 800 or 900 numbers. I'm not sure what they do now because I've not done that. And you just dial in, and there's a bunch of people on the on telephones, and I think there are chat rooms that you can choose to go into, and you pretty much go from there. So, and you just jump into conversation with the person, and if at some point you want to go offline with the person, you exchange a number or a way of contacting one another, and then you take it from there.
And so that would be less comfortable, or is that more comfortable? Because, see, you're talking to a human person at that point when you're doing the whole party line thing. Are you at some point talking to a human person when you're putting your information on these online sites?
Well, some, to my knowledge, and as you know, and I've been very open with disclosing with the listeners,
right,
that I've done internet dating off and on for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And how I came to doing internet dating, it wasn't a nice experience.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about that in my book that'll be out early next year. But there are some websites that allow you to do to chat like your regular Yahoo Instant Messenger chat or your MSN Messenger chatting. It allows you to do that. There are some sites that also allow you to be seen while you're talking to the person over the site. And then, of course, you can, you know, if you feel that you've had a good exchange back and forth with the individual, you can choose to Skype, you can choose to send them your telephone number or an email and go offline that way. Everything is with comfort, but in today's world, we know that we are living in a strange world. I don't have to tell you. And you do have to think about your safety and just how much information you're going to disclose to someone who you've never met.
Exactly.
It's very, very important that one exercise caution and safety at all times.
Exactly, which is my fear. I'll end up in some strange situation with the killer. And I don't want that. I just want to date.
Well, we don't want that either.
That's my fear. Like, my luck, I'll end up with Mr. Crazy Man who's trying to stalk me and hunt me down in an alley somewhere. I don't know. But, again, those are my views, not necessarily those of Bree Life Radio. So.
Well, Bree Life Radio, just to be clear for our listeners, we take a very middle-of-the-road approach because, you know, I have my personal views, but I do understand that there's different sides of looking at this issue, and that's why we have the provocative dialogue to provoke the peripheral thought. So, like I said, I've done it. I did it over a period of time, off and on, and even with the best exercising of caution and making sure that you're safe, you meet the person in a public area, and you still don't know who you're dealing with, which brings me to the second half of the concept of the show, which is meeting someone conventionally and what the difference is. When you think about it, the only difference is that you have instant gratification. We are visual people. Men are more visual than women. And when you meet someone on the street, that's instantaneous. You don't even have the buffer. Some people like the buffer. Some people tend to like the barrier. That's why they choose to exercise internet dating, because it allows them to pick, choose, and refuse. You know, when you are in the street, you don't have the luxury of doing that because the person is right, will approach you, even if you don't seem approachable. If they feel that they want to approach you, they will do so. And what barrier do you have there? You know, where's the safety there? So that's what we're going to continue to discuss tonight on the show. Again, we're talking about internet dating versus conventional dating and what's the difference. I'm interested for the listeners to chime in, and you can do so by calling 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. You can also join me in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Bree Lice and into the chat room and chime in that way if you so choose so. Also, you can follow me on Bree Life Radio at Twitter and Bree Life Radio at Facebook. So at this time, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined with Patricia Ellie, who is the founder and owner of Mahogany Links. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
If you didn't tune into the Bree Life Radio show on Wednesday, this is what you missed.
Hey, Mark. Mark, check it out, Mark. If they give it up too easy sometimes, I mean, if vagina was a stock, it would plummet. It would plummet.
Mm.
Because you give it away too easy.
You hear that, ladies? There is a brother on the line that's saying that the ladies are giving it up too easy.
And this?
We want a lot more than sex, too. We want to be loved. We want to be respected. We want a whole lot of that will make the sexual experience that much more enhanced.
We can't forget about this.
Tony, you heard that. You know she's taking the easy way out of this one. You know what could happen. Come on, Bree.
Wow. No, listen. I say you have to be honest. You have to be honest with your partner of what the deal breakers are.
It's real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light.
No, we breathing light. We ain't breathing heavy now. Right.
It's the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Check us at blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life.
What you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree Life.
How we live in life.
Hey.
And we're back, and we're inhaling and breathing light because we're talking about a very touchy subject, but interesting nonetheless. We're discussing internet versus conventional dating. What's the difference? I'm your host, Bree, and I'm joined tonight with my co-host, Red Sable.
Hey.
And this is what we're talking about. And shortly, we're going to be joined with our first guest, which we have several tonight, Patricia Ellie, who happens to be the founder of MahoganyLinks.com. Also, during our discussion, we're going to be joined with two other guest panelists. One is Marie, who happens to be a 41-year-old single female professional. She owns her own business, and she has done internet dating in the past, and she's going to come on and discuss what her past experiences have been. And we're also going to bring an interesting man that I had the good fortune to have a nice conversation with this evening. His name is Dwan Graham from New Jersey. He's a 30-year-old African-American professional, and he is currently doing internet dating on and off, but his preference is conventional dating. And he also has some views on how women conduct themselves. So it'll be very interesting to hear what he has to say about some women's behavior. I happened to reach out to Dwan due to a comment he made on his Facebook page that I had the pleasure of taking a glance at, and that's why he's going to be on the show tonight. So without further ado, we're going to bring our first guest on, Patricia.
Yeah.
Season blessed. Hello, Patricia.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, absolutely.
Welcome,
let me introduce my co-host, Red Sable.
Hi,
nice
welcome.
To meet you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Well, Patricia, I want to thank you for coming on the Bree Life Radio Show. We are very interested to hear about your dating service, just for the listeners so that they can know. Patricia is the founder of MahoganyLinks.com. Mahogany Links is a dating service concentrating in speed dating and professional mixes for single African-American professionals. So without further delay, let's hear from Patricia, and let's see what Mahogany Links is all about.
So I am a practicing attorney in New York City, and I am the founder of Mahogany Link. I'm sure you guys are aware that in 2009, there was a lot of media coverage on why high-achieving black women were single. ABC even did a news special on why successful black women find it hard to get married. As a black professional woman, I was a bit irritated on how the media covered the story and how they convinced people to believe that successful black women were unable to find a male counterpart. However, when I looked at many of my black girlfriends who are smart, pretty, have great jobs, own their own home, own their own car, I noticed that they were single. And it wasn't entirely because of the ratio of black women to black men is disproportionate, but when you really looked at it, the truth of the matter is that many successful women work long hours. And sometimes it's difficult to find the time to meet new people. So in 2011, I decided to create Mahogany Link as an outlet where single professionals with busy schedules can meet their counterparts and hopefully form a link.
Wow. And just so the listeners can know, how long has the company been in existence, and what is its demographic?
Okay. Our website, MahoganyLink.com, actually went live in July 2011, but we hosted our first event October 2011. So this month makes our one-year anniversary. As far as demographics, we concentrate on professionals between the ages of 25 to 42. We ask that our members have a minimum of an associate's degree, but we do accept successful entrepreneurs without a college degree. We have a variety of different people that attend our events, social workers, lawyers, doctors, teachers, nurses, businessmen, anybody that's a professional. And people, for the most part, come. They have a great time. It's fun. You meet lots of great people with different backgrounds. And you definitely have to be open and willing to do this unconventional type of dating.
Uh-huh. And that's interesting that you would say that it's unconventional. Why in today's climate, where technology has taken over the universe, that you would say that it's unconventional? We live in an information age where everything is immediate and real time. And it's been growing constantly like this for the last 15 years. So do you feel that that speed dating and mixers, social mixers, have not infused their way into today's way of meeting one another on a regular basis? Do not say that it's becoming, or it is actually more conventional than unconventional?
That's a really great question. I think it's slowly becoming more conventional because you find more people actually going online and meeting people. I have a couple of friends of my own that have had successful situations using going onto my online dating sites and are happily married and have kids, quite a few. At this point, I think that speed dating is still unconventional because a lot of people don't really understand what speed dating is about. I even find it sometimes really difficult just trying to get people through the door. A lot of times people are very apprehensive on the fact that I'm meeting 10 to 15 unknown people and I'm having dates with these people. So a lot of times, you know, people will just come for the first time and just observe, and then the next time they'll jump right in. But I would say that we're coming to an age where more people are just finding it a lot easier just going online and just meeting people.
Okay. Patricia, if I could just, do you have your computer background? Would you turn the volume on? Or whoever might have their computer on, we're getting a feedback.
I actually don't have my computer on.
Okay. Red?
No, I'm not even on it.
Okay.
Is it that it's on or I have it on, but I'm not online or anything like that.
Okay. Is that better? I think whatever. Okay. No, I still hear it.
Yeah, I hear it when you're speaking. I don't know.
Okay, so, Red, did you want to ask a question?
Okay, so, yeah, I do want to ask a question.
It might be that someone is on, anyone on speakerphone?
No.
Okay.
Did I continue?
Yes.
Okay, so Patricia, I am a little bit weary, well, maybe a lot weary, because I am and so for me, I feel like it is more of an easier situation set up for someone to feed me a bunch of lies while online than it is for me to figure out their body language and look them in the face and read them that way. To hide behind a machine to create this whole persona and whatever and tell me whatever you want me to hear, and then when we meet, you're completely different. I find out later that there was just a bunch of lies, the representative showed up instead of the actual person. That's been a complete deterrent for me, which is why I've always found that this would be not a comfortable arena for me as a single woman. I am an African-American female. I do own my own business. I am in the entertainment industry. I meet a lot of people. So for me, online, because of the industry that I work in, I'm just really skeptical. So what would you say to a person like myself who is skeptical at this point and not feeling really comfortable with this type of situation?
Okay, I totally understand because I think that with what I do in terms of speed dating, I think you get a little bit of the best of both worlds. You're able to go online, register to attend one of my events, and also be able to actually screen the dates that you're going on, if you understand what I mean. Because with the speed dating, it's as if you're going on a blind date with 10 individuals. You know absolutely nothing about them. But however, there are 5-minute dates for each person. So you're quickly being able to kind of screen them and saying, okay, yes, no, maybe. And at that point, you're able to, okay, you know what, select the few that you want to go out with for the next time around. And when you really think about it, when you meet somebody, let's say you go to a party, you meet somebody at a party, you're only really speaking to them for about a few minutes before you exchange information. So it's pretty much the same sort of situation, just that I'm creating a forum, an outlet where I can connect these people, have a forum, connect everybody, and it's up to you whether or not you want to pursue it.
Now, speed dating, as you mentioned before, it's very quick, very fast-paced. I only speak to a person, I don't know, maybe 60 seconds to 2 minutes possibly, and then they offer running. When I am in a club setting or whatever type of social setting that I'm in, you get a chance to vibe with people. So you can... I don't know. Maybe it's because I just have this. I'm really old school, so maybe I just have this block. I don't see how I can get an immediate connection for someone that I've only been for a good 60 seconds or so, as opposed to me being able to, okay, we had maybe a drink and we're now chatting and it's more comfortable and I have that time to speak to you, as opposed to, oops, I better hurry up and get all my questions in because the next one is coming. So do you at some point have a chance to say, okay, this is it, this is the person that I'm going to continue talking to, or is it customary for you to just keep it moving in your situation in that setting?
Well, for our events, every date is 5 minutes. Even though 5 minutes may seem very, very short in order to really get to know a person, which I do agree, it's pretty a short amount of time to really get to know a person. But within that 5 minutes, you can ask some real key questions that are important to you and say, mm-hmm. okay, you know what? I want to get to know this person a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Or they may just say something that just completely throws you off and say, you know what, this is not for me. And a lot of times as women, especially single professional women, we see somebody with a degree and we may think, okay, he's a catch. He has no kids. He has a degree. He's going to be the perfect one for me. And then you go on this five-minute date and realize we have absolutely nothing in common.
Absolutely.
Now the whole thing is that it just sparks the whole – speed dating thing, it allows you to spark an interest in somebody and say, you know what, I want to get to know this person a little bit better. I want to have a real date with this person. We can sit down, we can do all of that. I'm not going to say that, you know, I don't ever guarantee that people come to my event and they'll definitely form a love connection. I can't guarantee that. But what I can guarantee is that you'll meet a lot of professional people and have a fun time.
So do you have, I know it's only been a short time, but do you have have you monitored your success rates to this point, or do you have
a
number?
I have not yet. Okay. Yeah, I have not yet, because like I said, this month makes it a year. But I soon will do that and send out, you know, email to all my members and see whether or not there are success stories. But I do know that when people leave my event, they definitely have a good time. We actually had an event last week that went very well, and we had some great feedback. The women were very impressed with the turnout and the type of men that came to the event.
Well, okay. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to have more questions with Patricia Ellie of Mahogany Link. So everyone stay tuned.
It is important for you to get your healthy dose of the Bree Life Radio Show, because when you miss the Bree Life Radio Show, you miss moments like this.
And of course, there's those of them that get married for holy matrimony. They got married for holy matrimony.
And this.
The reason why a certain group of women attract themselves to internet dating is so that they can lie.
We can't forget about this.
I had a stalker. I had to get an order of protection. You got a woman that you've been with for 7 years, so you do it. You do it. Stop, right?
Come on, Bree. Don't stop it.
It's real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light.
So let's take that deep breath in, because we're about to go in.
It's the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Catch us at blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life.
And we're back. Welcome back to the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your host, Bree, and we're joined tonight with our guest panelist, Patricia Ellie, who is the founder of MahoganyLinks.com. And, of course, my co-host and sister-at-arms, Red Sable. Welcome
Hello.
Back, ladies. I guess the next question I want to ask you, Patricia, is what do you feel, other than the success rate, but what do you feel the vibe is with the venues that you select? How do you select your venues of where these events are going to take place, because we know atmosphere is very important when you're dating.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So,
So how do you select your venues?
I make sure that I have a venue that is sophisticated, sexy, and intimate, which are three important things for, to me, to just set the mood. And my events are always after work. So people come business casual, business attire, business chic. So we want to keep the professionalism going. So people come there and they always have a good time in terms of the setup. The setup is very classy, like I said, very intimate. And how it's set up is that the women sit down, are seated, and the men have to get up and move from date to date every 5 minutes. So it allows the women to feel comfortable and relaxed, and it allows the men to be gentlemen and just get up and just move around.
Okay. And as you know, and I did a show on intimate dating early on the Bree Life Radio launch, and I found that there were 11 dating websites that were most popular, and 30 million people over in the year 2011 actually signed up for internet dating. So where we're in this climate of people being so now using a conventional method of going on the internet, because now that's become conventional. What do you feel one would have to do to make speed dating and social after work mixes more appealing to your demographic? Because your demographic is professional African American men and women who are between the ages of 5 and 42.
Mm-hmm.
What would you feel one would have to do to make it more appealing to people in that demographic? And why have you not maybe expanded the age range?
I think that in terms of what I would have to do in order to really get people more involved in speed dating, really I can say nothing. I think in due time people will start getting more familiarizing themselves with speed dating. It's just like the internet doing online dating. I remember years ago, I want to say maybe 7-8 years ago, when anybody would mention internet dating, it was such a taboo. People were like, no, I don't do internet dating. Only desperate people do that, and they're stalkers on internet dating. It was such a taboo within the Black community. Yet you found white America, they were doing it, and they were perfectly fine with that. It took a long time for Black people to really start getting comfortable with saying, I'm going to do internet dating, and actually enjoying it and meeting great people. So that was a long time coming, and I feel as though it's the same kind of trend or same type of situation that's going on with the speed dating. Because they're not familiar with it, they have this depiction that only desperate people do speed dating, only ugly people do speed dating. It's a whole bunch of crazies that do speed dating. So when the men come and they see these women that look good, that are smart, that got great jobs, it just changes their whole perception on what speed dating is about. And then that's when they go and tell their friends.
Right.
So I think it's just a matter of time. The word would get out there and people will feel more comfortable participating. But I don't think it's anything that I will personally do. I just think that it's something that in time it will evolve. As far as my demographic, the reason why I focused on that demographic is because I'm part of that demographic and all my friends are part of that demographic. So it's easier for me to reach out to them as opposed to going outside of that. I really don't have a connection with that demographic. So, and I had people, you know, come to me and tell me, why don't I broaden my demographic, which honestly I appreciate everybody's input. But right now I just want to concentrate on the 25 to 42-year-old demographic and then eventually branch out.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do right now, we have some callers in queue, and we're gonna take a call from area 651, and I know this is brother at all, and someone who's dear to the heart of Real Life Radio is none other than Mark, Texas.
Hey, hey, what's going on, Bree? What's up, Red?
Hi, honey, how are you?
How are you all? I've been listening to it. It's been really, really a good show. Very, very good show. It's very interesting to hear this topic. I mean, this topic is now foreign to the Bree Life Show, as you said already, you know, so I think that it's kind of cool, you know, that you all are talking about it. And the whole concept of various forms of dating. I just was listening to the young lady talk about this speed dating and even talk about internet dating, which I'm definitely very accustomed to. I was just thinking when she was saying 7 years ago, she was so it was taboo. And I think that one interesting thing about the whole concept of any of these forms of things being taboo, a lot of times they're taboo for those who are willing to speak up about them being taboo. Because I started internet back in, let's say, 2000 and when was it? It had to be like 2005, 2004, somewhere up in there. I was internet dating with black people, a lot of black women. So therefore, it was more pervasive than people wanted to admit. But that was the whole issue; they didn't want to admit it. So even people, you would find people that would demonize internet dating that were actually doing it. You know what I'm saying? You know what it kind of reminds me of? And I know we're this is a grown audience, but it was kind of like growing up with the concepts of sexual freeness and like oral sex and things of that nature, and how in a black community the conversation about those things were somewhat taboo, but the actual fact that they were going on, it was very pervasive. But you wouldn't discuss those things. You know, it was kind of like it was a personal thing. And one thing I do know about the black community, for example, we have a tendency to be much more private in our behaviors, but not as not very restricted in our behaviors. So just because we're private about it doesn't mean we're restrictive about it. So what was happening was I found that there were a lot of people that were doing internet dating back in 2005 that were black, but they didn't want to talk about it. Other than the fact that between the person that they were dating, you know.
Okay.
But as far,
so,
you know, so
you
anyway.
Should have a question for our guest tonight?
Actually, I did. The question I was thinking of was about the internet dating, I mean about the speed dating thing was, when you are doing the speed dating and you have a form where people have 5 minutes, the thing that I would notice is a person's ability, they can be very intelligent. They could be very affable, but they may not be the greatest of communicators. And so you got the shy guy or the shy girl, which are great people, but 5 minutes, and I don't know if anybody ever read the book by Malcolm Gladwell called Blink, but we talk about the fact that most humans, we make snap judgments within 15 seconds or so about people as far as what we believe about them, the core of them. And then we spend the next 30 minutes, you know, validating or whatever what we sense when we first meet them. So 5 minutes time is a good time. But I just was wondering about the whole concept of ability to communicate in short periods of time. Do you ever hear any of the people talk about, you know, having a challenge in that area?
Not necessarily a challenge, but people have complained to me is that 5 minutes is not enough time because
okay,
they had such a great time talking to the person. And as a matter of fact, for that shy person that's not able to articulate themselves and is not that social person, I think that speed dating is perfect for that person because it actually forces you to engage and have a conversation with somebody. And actually, you're forcing you to interact with 10 people, a minimum of 10 dates in one night, as opposed to that person that's socially awkward or shy, and if they go to a mixer, they're not going to speak to anyone.
Okay. Oh, one other question I did have, and it was about your demographic. You said 25 to 25 to 42, and you said because you're in that demographic. My question, the only question I had about that, and I don't know, it may be a statement and a question. You could be the judge of that. but I was thinking about when you're over 40, 40 to 50-year-olds interact and integrate with each other, and a 25-year-old is quite a distance between a 42-year-old. So if you looked at the mean or the median, what do you think on the average comes to your mixers?
Okay, I would say on average it's youngest 28, oldest 40.
And your mean but the mean
average would I would say maybe 34.
I thought you would probably say 34, 35. Because, I mean,
About 34, yeah.
Because I can imagine a 25-year-old, okay, it depends, because women and men kind of socialize a little differently, so a 25-year-old woman would probably find a little more ease talking to a 42-year-old man as opposed to vice versa. I'm just saying, it might not be, because I know we talk about the whole cougar world, but I'm saying in general, you know, it's kind of different. Because, yeah, you know what I'm saying, because a lot of times the whole perception has always been that women mature a little faster than men do, so the fact that a 25-year-old woman may socialize herself with a 42-year-old man may be a little more common than vice versa. I'm just saying, but, you know, you may have a different view on that, but that was just...
Yeah, I do. I do have a different view on that. You know, this is 2012. You know, older women are dating men that are 10 years their junior, but that's a totally different topic.
Right, right, right. Well,
yeah, that's a different topic. We will get into that in the near future.
You will, will you?
If these 40-something-year-old men don't get their stuff together, Bree might become a cougar.
Oh, wow. I'm going to be like Scrappy. You put the paws on them.
Oh, my goodness. Well, on that note, we are going to take a commercial break. We're going to ask Mark to stick around. And when we come back, we're going to be joined with our two other panelists, Marie, who's a 41-year-old single woman who owns her own company. And she is a person who supports internet dating. And Duan, who is a 30-year-old gentleman from New Jersey. He's a professional, and he dabbles in internet dating, but he would prefer the conventional way of meeting a person. So we're going to bring these two people on in a moment and hear their views. And I just want to thank all the listeners for continuing to support the Bree Life Radio Show. We'll be back in just a moment.
It is very common to hear people use the phrase, I'm going to be me. I'm not changing
for anybody.
And they use that phrase a lot of times to suggest that nothing's wrong with them and they're fine with being who they are. But here's a question. What happens when being you leaves you
with only you?
You know, like you're acting the way you act and people leave the room.
You lose two or three friends at a time.
You talk to the mirror more than you talk to your best friend.
You take long walks in the park holding your own hand.
My suggestion is don't change. Don't change.
Don't change.
Because, after all, you like being you. Now, here's some problems with being you. Not considering you may end up walking through the room holding your own hand by yourself. But that's okay, because guess what? You're still being you. So, if you're liking it, I'm loving it. And remember, don't stop being you.
Don't you change, baby.
Not for anybody. Even yourself. This has been Mark Said It in under a minute.
Just be you. That's the theme. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your host, Bree. And we're talking about internet versus conventional dating. What's the difference? And we're joined tonight with my guest panelist, Patricia Ellie, who is the founder of MahoganyLinks.com. We also are joined with our longtime friend and supporter, guest co-host extraordinaire, Mark in Houston, Texas, and my sister at arms, my co-host, Red Sable. Welcome back, people.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So, we're gonna bring on our other two panelists, both Duan and Marie. So we'll bring on ladies first. Since this, don't you just love the estrogen on the show, Mark?
Yeah, I even enjoyed the whole cosplay that Bree said she might turn into a cougar.
You got to make that a commercial. And we're being joined with Marie. Marie, thank you for holding on and being so patient for us to bring you on to the show. Welcome to the Bree Life Radio Show.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.
And Marie, we know that you currently, if I remember correctly in our conversation earlier, right now you're dating someone, but prior to meeting the person who you're involved with, you actively did some internet dating. Why don't you share with us what your experiences were?
Well, my internet dating was more from a social network site, not so much as a site that does internet dating like Match.com or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We met on MySpace, and my relationship lasted for like 3 years. Can't complain. And the guy that I'm with now, I met him on Facebook. It just happens for me. And I just go with the flow.
Okay. So what, before you met this individual on one of the social media sites, what was your initial experiences with the type of people who you were encountering?
Well, I've always met genuine individuals. Choosing to go with a gentleman on the social network site, it wasn't because it was social network or he was any different than others, you know, the other men that I've met, you know, face-to-face or whatever. It was just, it's just that he brought something different to the table than the other individuals that I met face-to-face. But I've always had great experience in meeting men, never really had a problem.
Okay. And did you, what types of initial steps did you take in the whole rules of engagement of dating? I mean, you know, if you've ever listened to the Bree Life Radio Show, the rules of engagement is one of my favorite terms to describe how one engages, how one steps into the realm of doing something. So it's a process. What would you share with the listeners of what your internet dating process or your social media dating process was? Because similar to internet dating, you had a profile, a picture, some information to kind of gauge who this person was. So
how did you
filter through those individuals?
Well, honestly, you really can't. I don't believe that you can when it comes to the whole internet dating. What happens is, yes, we set up a profile, but the profile could be a complete lie. Every single question that's asked, you could actually lie. And when you meet the individual, it's like, but, you know, you says this, you says that, and, you know, it's not much that you can do about it. So when it comes to the profile, you really can't go by that. You just have to feel the person. I mean, they're going to tell you things, but you could catch people in a lie. You really can. But you have to feel the person. I am who I am on the internet, and I'm who I am if you meet me face-to-face. What I tell you face-to-face is what's going to be on the internet. I'm not going to try to cause anything or tell you something different to make myself look better. You're going to have to accept me for who I am. But I can't tell you my experience on the internet that men lie a lot when it comes to profiling, putting a profile up, the pictures up. The pictures you see is the best of who they are until you meet them.
Before I make a comment about that, I got to ask, whoever is by a computer or is speaking on a speakerphone, are experiencing some really bad feedback, and I need for everyone to look at their current setup and make an adjustment. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm walking around in the dark.
literally. So
okay. Be careful, girl.
I do my best thinking in the dark. I'm sorry. There's moonlight, there's candles, but I'm saying.
So Mark, you before we bring Juan on, I want to take a caller because I'm getting like Facebook instant messages like never before, and there's a very good friend of mine that I grew up with, Alvin, who wants to come on and say something about internet dating. But before I bring him on, I just want to ask you, Mark, did you have anything that you wanted to say to Marie? Because it seemed like, you know, I still can sense your energy.
Well, you know, I've been listening to Marie talking. I mean, you know, see, two things. You know, I'm thinking about somebody else when I hear this. I think about Red. I always think about Red. Because, see, Red.
Yeah, we always think about Red.
We always think about Red. See, so when
that's
I'm thinking
because
about.
I'm always yelling at him.
When I'm listening to Marie, I'm thinking about Red because I'm listening to what Marie is saying, and I'm hearing what she's saying, and I'm feeling Red's energy, right? But I'm hearing what Marie is saying, and I'm thinking about my experience at the same time. So this is what I came up with. I'm listening to this, and you know, the reality is this, and this is my experience. Only I can speak. I know a lot of people have a lot of trepidation about this whole internet dating or social meeting, whatever you do. But what I find is the majority of people, I mean, they tell the truth. Obviously, I don't date men, so therefore I can only say women, and women seem to, for the most part, they are who they say they are. I have never met a woman that told me that I was said something different than what I have said. I've said because I have dated on the internet, and I've had a 5-year relationship from internet dating, and I'm in a present relationship from internet dating. So I have no problem with it. You meet who you meet, you know, is a process of elimination, and as I always say, it's a numbers game 9 times out of 10. So therefore, you're gonna cipher through the numbers. You're going to cipher through the numbers, and as you cipher through the numbers, you know, it's kind of like, to me, it's like the terrestrial ground game dating to me. It's really not that much different. I mean, I understand it has its nuances, which makes it somewhat different. We understand that it's dimensional and it's from the standpoint that it's on a piece of paper and you have information, but you'll be surprised how much information. If you really listen, again, it depends on how, if you're a very critical listener, if you listen to what people say, if you talk to them enough, everybody establishes patterns. So if you are present and you are aware, you're going to hear these nuances and these patterns, and you'd be surprised how much information people are telling you about themselves, which either A, you will ignore, you'll accept, you'll investigate, whatever the case may be, but a lot of information is there from that flat, one-dimensional page to that first meeting that you have. It's kind of interesting.
Okay.
I mean, people do lie.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to bring Alvin on, and then after Alvin makes his comment, then we're going to bring our other guest panelists on. Come on. So peace and blessings, Alvin. I know you've been patient. Welcome to the Bree Life Radio, baby.
Peace and blessings, Sister Bree. Nice to, you know, I like your show. Peace, everybody. How you doing?
Hello.
I just want to say hello.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
How y'all doing? The show was very informative. I'm really good. I was listening because, you know, I didn't do internet dating, but my current girlfriend I'm with, I met her through Facebook. And I just wanted to say that, you know, it happened for me more or less for destiny. It was destiny how we met. It wasn't that, you know, she saw me, I saw her, we started talking. She was a friend on my page for like about 2 years prior to me even speaking to her. You know, she just, you know, she seen me and I've seen her. She made a comment to me one day about me. You know, it's how it happens. You know, so then, and she's not even in this country. She's in the Philippines, but when I met her, I went to go see her in Singapore. So it's, you know, listening to the show, I'm hearing
another dynamic. You should stay on the show, Alvin, because that's another dynamic that we need to address, the internet dating dynamic of long-distance relationships.
Yes.
Exactly.
And shoot, yeah. if anything is long distance, we talk about Singapore.
Not even
yeah.
that. It's a different time zone.
Singapore, would you get,
yeah.
get on a plane?
Absolutely not. See, this is
There's nothing speedy about that, Patricia.
Mm-hmm. It depends on. I believe it depends on the adventurer in you and if how far you're willing to go for love. You know, if there's no boundaries to the love, you have to, you know, because you have. After you get to know the person enough to want to see them, it depends on how bad you want to see them. So it's, you know, it's up to the individual. Everyone's not going to do that. And that's what I've learned because people thought I was crazy. They said, you're going to go where to see who? I said, listen, I said, I already know in my heart and the spirit that she's worth it. I said, and when her schedule changes and my schedule changes, I said, I'm going to be on the plane. I had to take two planes and transfer. I had to transfer in Tokyo. And from Tokyo, I'm going to take this flight in 6 hours. I was there. Yeah. <That for me? laughs> it's
wow.
been like that. Amen.
Amen. For real.
I put an amen on that.
Oh, my goodness. You know what, Alvin? We're going to ask you to stick around. This is a great topic. We're having good energy
all
here.
Right.
And I got to take a station break. But when we come back, we're going to bring our next guest panelist on, Duan. And we're going to hear his views about internet dating versus conventional dating, his preference, and also a comment that he made on Facebook last night that needs to be addressed. And ladies, this is not something that you want to miss. So I'm asking you to hang on for just one more minute. It's the Bree Life Radio Show.
Everybody believes. Everybody believes something, and if you got a minute, they'll sell it to you. And, you know, the whole belief thing starts off kind of like this. The cartoon with the bubble caption, I believe. And then that bubble caption idea goes to, you open your mouth, I believe, believe. And then you go from I believe to, you should believe. And then it goes from you should believe to, believe. So we. Gone from I believe to you should believe to believe. We go from I believe in God, I believe in the devil, I believe in heaven, I believe in hell, I believe in love, I believe in hate. And then there's, of course, I don't believe, which is a belief in not believing and any other belief in between. I was just wondering, if you don't mind sharing, what do you believe? I happen to believe that Mark said it.
And And that's the only thing that he said in under a minute since I've known him. But damn, what the hell was I believe? I thought we was gonna break out in chorus and song. And we are back as the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your host Bree. We're discussing internet dating versus conventional dating. What's the difference? And guess what, people? We got a new spin because my childhood friend from Crown Heights, Brooklyn, just came on and threw a new dynamic into our circle here, internet dating internationally.
Oh, yes.
But we're not going to expand on that too much. We're going to give our brother Duan an opportunity to come on and give his perspective on our discussion tonight, because he's been very patient waiting. Peace and blessings, and welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Bree? Thanks for having me on the show. Blessings and peace
great
to you and your co-hosts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we are being joined right now with Duan. Last night, he made a controversial statement on Facebook, and it intrigued me so much that I had to ask him to come on the show. But before we cross over into that discussion, we want to hear what he has to say about internet dating versus conventional dating. What's the difference? And what say you, Duan? How do you feel about it? And what's your preference?
Well, from my experience from internet dating, and just keep in mind, I just came from a 6-year relationship. had a recent divorce in April, and I haven't seen the dating scene in about 10 years. That's a long time. A lot goes on in the world in 10 years. A lot changes. And so dating 10 years ago is a lot different than dating now. First of all, I don't believe I ever remember there was any kind of social sites 10 years ago. I mean, if it was, I wasn't really into anything like that. But what I see here today, internet dating, it has its pros and cons just like anything else. But at the same time, I mean, you know, as Marie was saying earlier, and I really enjoyed the comments and the discussion tonight, but what I get from internet dating is really like it's really a bunch of it can be a bunch of fluff. It can be. I've met women that I've talked to for, you know, months at a time. You know, even their pictures are phony. I mean, you know, once you actually see them in person, you know, it's a totally different story. So I mean, it's a lot of fluff that can go on when you're dealing with internet dating versus conventional dating. I like to actually meet people when I'm out. You know, I like to approach people while I'm at my job, or you know, when I'm in a restaurant, or you know, even at the club. I mean, you know, that's where I would like to meet people. I really don't get and this is for me. You know, everyone has their personal preference, but I really don't get too much from internet dating. And so, for me, my personal preference would be the old-fashioned way.
Okay. And when you say the old-fashioned way, we'll categorize that or label that as conventional. So, conventionally, if you were in a social setting, tell me what your rules of engagement are. How do you do this?
As far as meeting or approaching a female?
Exactly. Yes.
I can tend to get a little crazy. I'm pretty fearless. If I see someone, you know, at a bus stop, you know, I'll approach them immediately and just introduce myself. And, you know, hopefully we can, you know, go get some coffee around the corner or something like that. You know, I prefer that even, you know, even though it may seem, you know, immediate, I would still prefer that over internet dating.
Okay. And when you say you're pretty fearless, and you know, you could be crazy at times, I'm sure that you don't mean in a manner that, let me get someone's feedback off the line. I'm sure you mean in a manner that would not be offensive, because you definitely don't come off that way.
No,
But when you approach someone, do you have what type of preferences do you have? Do you have age restrictions? Do you have size restrictions? Do you, you know, what type of woman do you feel that you would be attracted to? Because let's say you go to something like one of Patricia's mixes. What would you, you know, are you attracted to professional women? Are you attracted to, you know, casually styled or chicly styled dressed women? Do you like tall women? Do you like short? I mean, you know, give us an idea here, because this is, I'm segueing to some.
Okay. Well, I've always been attracted to the business women. Those that are fairly tall. I'm 6'4" myself. I like a woman to be at least 5'6", 5'7", or maybe slightly taller. But yeah, I tend to be more attracted to business women. You know, those that really love to work, really have a strong drive, have a good head on their shoulders. You know, when it comes to handling business.
Mhm. And are there any age restrictions with that, or are you just attracted to who you're attracted to?
This is my thing, really, to be honest. You know, I look for compatibility at most. You can't really put an age on that. I mean, it's, you know, everything has a balance. I mean, I wouldn't want anyone 60. I wouldn't date anyone 60 years old with me being 30. But at the same time, you know, I look for compatibility. And I think that's the most important part when you're meeting someone and you want to grow in that chemistry that you started with. Because I've been out on dates where we were not compatible. I've even been in relationships where we were not compatible, and we couldn't grow right. We couldn't grow together. You know, and that's the most important part in a relationship, because if you're not growing together, that's when, you know, communication may cease. You know, that's when the feelings that you once had with that person, you know, could possibly die. I mean, it could be all kinds of things, but, you know, you were unequally yoked from the get-go. And so, you know, I want to be with somebody that I'm compatible with. If I can get someone that I'm compatible with, then I can grow with them. You know, I can strengthen their weaknesses and theirs mine.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, our commercial about a half an hour, you heard me saying something to our brother Alex that should be on the line shortly. He said, "Bree, the women are giving it up too easy." And I said, "Ladies, did you hear? We got a brother on the line that says the women are giving it up too easy." You heard that, right?
Yeah, I heard that comment.
Okay. So it's one of our most highest rated commercials that I get comments about from the listeners. But which segues me to the reason why I asked you to be on the show. Because last night I saw, if you don't mind me sharing with our listeners and our panel, a comment that you made. And I'm going to read it verbatim. It says, "Dating life number 8. If women really knew the value of their bodies, they wouldn't give it up so easy. I need a woman of good quality, one that will have high standards and low tolerance when it comes to inviting a grown man into her space." Well,
absolutely.
Ladies, we have reached the Bree Life Radio Show, and you need to call in, because here's a brother on the line that's saying that the women are giving it up too easy. And I need you to call in, 424-220-1862. Also, I would like to hear from the women on the panel of what our brother here has just said, and I'm going to ask that we start with our most recent woman guest, Marie. What do you think about that statement?
Well, I really have a question for Dwan. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Yes.
Okay, you said that you want a woman that has high standards and low tolerance, and
yes.
I guess that's your thing. But how does giving it up easy means that she doesn't have these things? I mean, I could meet you today and just choose to do so, but it does not mean that my standards aren't high or anything.
No, that's my personal preference, and it's actually coming from a place of experience. You know, I was married for about 6 years, and I found out about a year and a half ago, close to almost 2 years ago, that my wife was unfaithful for a couple of years, and it was due to internet dating. Now, please keep in mind that this has nothing to do with reason for not liking internet dating. It has nothing to do with it at all.
Okay.
But at the same time, you know, when I look at that, and I found out all the information that was presented to me, it kind of painted a picture for me. You know, I looked at my wife as a jewel, and you know, things kind of changed when I seen the information that I seen. And so, you know, from here on, and this is, you know, again, this is coming from a personal place. You know, everybody has their own beliefs, their own settings, you know, with dating, with, you know, how long they have to wait to, you know, to sleep with their partner and things of that nature. But coming from me, I would say that I would need a higher standing coming from the experience that I've come from. And that's just coming from me. But I do believe at the same time that people really, we live in a day and time where it's so many diseases out here that, I mean, they really shouldn't play with their bodies the way, or they really shouldn't open themselves up to as many people as quick as what they should. And, you know, that's pretty much what I'm getting at. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous out here, and we just want to make sure that we know and understand. First of all, I mean, once I get into something, you know, once I do dirt, you know, once I sleep with someone after, you know, say a first date, you know, and that's coming from me, you know, I have to accept the fact that, number one, I might get pregnant. Number two, I might catch some kind of illness.
You wasn't pregnant?
I know, that's why I laughed.
Well, I mean, you know, when it pertains, well,
see,
when the question is pertaining to women. The question is pertaining to women. But, I mean, coming from me, you know, I could be a potential, you know, I could possibly be, you know, a father to a child that the mother is a stranger. You know,
right,
I mean, there's
right.
so many different things that can go on. You know, when you define that as dating, you know, going out, having one night stands, meeting people and sleeping with them after the second and third date. You know, it, to me, that's coming from my personal beliefs. I just don't believe that is a good way to go for anybody.
Okay.
I wanna
ask for our first guest panelist, Patricia Ellie, because I know that her time is very short with us. Did you want to make a comment about what Dwan has just shared with us in terms of his perspective on how some women, of course we're not labeling all single women, but some women, in his opinion, tend to be a little, exercise a little less control when it comes to having sex with a man that they barely know.
I personally, I don't see anything wrong with it. Not to say that I exercise it, but I think that we're living in a day where, in an age where women are being more free with their sexuality.
Thank you.
You know, when men do it, it's like, high five, you're the man. You know, you have all these different women, and no one questions them whether or not they're sleeping with a whole bunch of women. But when a female chooses to do that, it's like a double standard, which I find to be very unfair. And it's a question of a woman actually looking at a man and saying, okay, you know what, I really see this man as somebody that I want to have in my life in terms of a committed relationship. Yeah, I do believe that a female should, you know, set the bar, set a bit of standards for herself, and
yes.
just hold out. But if it's a situation where this female just wants to have a good time, I'm not going to call her any names. I'm not going to say that she has no respect for herself. I'm not going to do the name calling, because she may have a lot of respect for herself, and she may be protecting herself, using the, you know, safe precautions of what she's doing and being smart with it. But it's like, you know what, I'm having a good time on vacation. Let me just do this. No one would know, and on to the next.
Okay.
Is it
like
the right
that
thing to do? Is it
Ow.
The right thing to do? I don't know, but I won't. I wouldn't pass judgment on any female that chooses to do that with their own body.
Okay.
We're going to ask
our co-host now, our protagonist.
Right. Well, yes, ma'am. So, okay. So I'm really trying not to bring the fire out, because, you know, I don't want to upset folks. But here's my thing. I, 7. So I understand what Duan is saying in terms of he's coming from a place of his experience, and he felt like he needed to exercise his freedom of speech and speaking that his next venture with his next woman is going to be someone that he completely gets to know before that happens to him again. So I understand that part of it. What I'm not understanding is to put that out there and make every other woman that reads that feel like she's being judged by him based on his experience. And it's a conversation that myself and our esteemed Bree have spoken about bringing baggage into whatever happened in your previous situations. Now, I realize I have my own trust issues. I do. But I can't bring my trust issues into new situations with people that I just meet just because of something that someone else did, because that's not fair to them. So if I decide that I'm going to be more scrupulous and more discerning about who I decide to be with, then that should be on me. And if I decide that I'm just going to give it up to everybody that I meet, then that's going to be on me too. But I'm not going to base that on anything that happened with someone else, because that was with someone else. So I understand, like I said, what he is saying, but on the other hand of it too, it kind of makes you wonder if you're going around judging every woman that you meet now, Duan. Is it like, are you sitting there thinking, is she going to cheat on me? Is she going to be like so-and-so? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm
being misunderstood, but when you look at men and women, and please, I'm not trying to be so chauvinistic or, you know, have any type of double standards whatsoever. But when you look at men and women that go out and, you know, they enjoy themselves and they do it time after time after time, you tend to notice that it's harder to, I guess, on average, from my experience anyway, and some could openly and freely disagree, but from my experience, you know, the people whose paths I've crossed, they would tell me that it's harder to be faithful when it's time to actually be faithful to the one that they feel is the right one for them, the right partner for them. I mean, for life, you know, those that want to get married and want to have kids and just want to, you know, chill from that fast life, you know. Some say it's harder. I've actually had someone come to me and say, Duan, you know what? Now that I'm not out like I used to be, I'm noticing that it's harder for me to stay away from the phone calls. It's harder for me to stay away from the emails. It's harder for me to stay away from that life, and I'm married to a good man. What do I do? This is a strong struggle for me. You know, and so, you know, again, this is my personal, and, you know, it's not really, I'm not really being judgmental, it's not fair to anyone that I bring baggage from past relationship. That's not fair on my part, and it's not fair on theirs especially. But when it comes to, when it comes to that, you know, it's best to, I mean, from my personal preference, it's just best to stay away from that, to really get to know a person. And, you know, after a while, you know, if you feel like it's meant, then it's meant.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to ask Alvin, which I hope he's still with us. Alvin?
Yeah.
Good. I want to get your perspective on what you've heard from our brother Duan here. And then we're also going to go into your dynamic that you so graciously came on and stirred the pot with. International internet dating. So what say you people? Or the Bree Life Radio Show. We'll be right back.
In 1 second of 1 minute, it only takes one word, one gesture, one story, one idea,
one
hug, one kiss.
One smile, one hand, one look, one touch, one dream.
Everybody got a dream.
One gift. And one person to do one of these things to make one difference. Oh, yeah. Before I go.
One thought.
One thought.
One thought.
Will you be the one to do at least one of these things? Today's segment has been brought to you by the number.
One.
It's been Mark Said It in under
1 minute.
And we're back. I want to take this moment, as Patricia had to leave us, to thank her. Again, she's the founder of MahoganyLinks.com. You can go to MahoganyLink.com and join her site. Her site is free, but the events cost an average of $25. And what we didn't get a chance to talk about is when her next event is, and I believe it's sometime in November, which I'll share with our listeners before we end the show. But now we're going to be joined with our brother Alvin, and before we talk about international internet dating and ask some questions, I want to ask my listeners, to call in at 424-220-1862. I want you to follow me on Bree Life Radio at Twitter, Bree Life Radio at Facebook. And you can also send your questions, concerns, or, of course, your constructive criticisms to BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. So, Alvin.
Yes, my sister.
Yes, let's talk about. First of all, I want you to share from a man's perspective what you just heard Duan say and what you heard Patricia and Red say and Marie say. What do you think about everyone's perspective? I know, of course, I haven't chimed in with my opinion, but we'll hold that for last.
Well, everybody's perspective is, you know, it's respectable because I look at it as from everyone's different experiences. You know, it's what you've been through or might have seen, or, you know, it depends on who you've encountered over the time. Me personally, I've learned to from the mistakes and the mishaps and whatever. I've learned that whoever I'm going to be dating, I wanted them to, you know, I said I had to open myself up more. And I had to be a little bit more real with them rather than holding back. And I mean, like, holding back myself, like, as in fear of getting hurt again. I had to sidestep that and, you know, and start to say, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You know, because what you can't start to define what's going to be, or you're never going to be with anybody. You know, and that's why I was listening to what the sister said. I was listening to what the brother said, you know, and it's who you deal with, you know, because you never know. I'm divorced. I was my son's mother. I knew her for 25 years, and our marriage didn't last but 30 days, and then we separated. So it's, you know, and I thought when I get married, I'd get married once, and that would be it. And that's why it took so long for it to happen. Then I had my first child within that marriage, you know, and when that disintegrated, I just was like, wow, you know. Because I was like, I pursued her for all those years, even though I was dating other people and stuff. But I knew if, you know, I wanted my heart with her, I don't feel that way today. But, you know, it's the experiences. So then even with that, I didn't want that. Huh?
No, I said that's very interesting. And that's a show topic that I want to touch on the show. You know, dating, falling in love again with your childhood sweetheart. Like, you know, you waited all these years to finally be in the right place at the right time to kick that off. And I'm just interested to know how well that usually goes. I've heard some bad things. I have my own personal, you know, feeling about that. But don't let me interrupt you, but I just wanted to make a point.
No,
there.
Well, It depends on what the individual is looking for, because it's like we fell apart because I think we went two different ways. You have to really gel together. You can't just, the bottom line is you can't just look at me years later and then say, okay, now I'm ready for you now because I'm in this place where I feel I should be now, because obviously that doesn't work. So that's why it took years later to meet the woman that I met now, because once I got divorced, I didn't set myself up to say, well, I'm never going to do it again, because I was like, I'm not going to use this as a blueprint for what a marriage should be, because obviously it wasn't. I said one day,
well,
if it should happen.
Which is a perfect segue to this international relationship via or as a result of social media.
Yeah.
What is that all about, Al? Let's talk about that. How did you meet this? How did you meet our Asian sister?
It's wild because one day, I mean, like any other, I've always got a lot of friend requests, and some I've accepted, some I didn't. But a lot of people, I just let them through because when people was, I really didn't pay anybody any mind. Female wise, because I wasn't looking for anything, because I already see how it was like utter madness on there. I said, I can't fall into that stuff. But me, I knew when I put pictures up, I was putting pictures up of my real life, you know, when I'm at work, when I'm doing, you know, whatever. I said, I'm just doing, you know, I'm just living. And I started to notice, you know, she posts pictures of her cooking, and she was a nanny at the time, and she was taking pictures of her when she was taking care of the kids or whatever she was doing, cooking, whatever. So I would check a like here and a like there, and she started liking certain stuff, but it never turned into anything. And then just one day I went to jury duty. I texted and I went to jury duty, and she just asked me, like, you know, like, how does that work? I just gave it to her real brief. I said, well, if you don't go to jury duty, they give you an orange jumpsuit. And next thing you know, we started talking on the inbox, and from the inbox we moved to the phone, and then we started talking, and then we started getting close, and then it just blossomed. And then, you know, it just hit me like, wow, you know. Then I started feeling her, and then we started talking more, and, make, you know, I started to see the compatibility. So I said, we should make plans to, you know, I said, I want to meet you. And, you know, she didn't think I would, but I said, listen, I'm going to come out there. I said, when I schedule, you know, because I was on a job, I was working. You know, I do construction, so I couldn't just leave when I wanted to. I said, I'm going to wait for this job to finish. And when her schedule opens up for the holiday, I said, I'm going to take a flight down there. I said, because I think that, I said, but it's good this way because we're still getting to know each other. So, you know, I felt that the distance kind of helped us too. Because being, you know, I don't want to, you know, I wanted her to take a chance to see that there was nothing wrong with me, that I was a sane person, too. I told her that's why, you know, because I saw her before, but I said, like anybody on the internet, I would never say anything to her because I don't want her to think that I was like all the other people in her inbox saying whatever. I said, whatever will be, and it struck, you know. So when it happened, I booked my flight. I went down there, stayed down there 14 days with her, and we, you know, we got to know it. It was good. It was really good. You know, people was like, oh, you shouldn't go. You don't know what. So I said, listen, I said, we've been on this page for 2 years. She got to know me almost 3 years, because within that third year, it's like we got to know each other before I even took off and left here. You know, and I never been on an airplane before. I'd never been on a plane before until I went to go see her. So that's when I knew that there was something in the universe about this. It wasn't just the way it just happened. I was like, things like this just don't happen. You know, so it's been good. You know, so, you know, we're making plans.
I mean, that is really a leap of faith to get on a plane and go to a foreign country where, let me ask you, do you know how to speak Mandarin or
Cantonese? No, but she speaks five languages, but the main one is English and stuff, but she speaks perfect English and stuff. And
no, but I mean, you're going to a country where English is not the first language. So,
in Singapore, they speak mostly English over there. I mean, you got the Chinese over there, you have the Bangladeshis over there, but they mostly speak English, and they spoke perfect English to me because they was trying to let me know, looking at me like, what are you even doing here? I was like, I'm here for her. So they let me know instantly, like, you don't belong. I was like, whatever. I didn't pay them any mind, but that's how it was. It wasn't, yeah.
So can I ask a question? I'm sorry.
Yes, please.
Just really, so can I ask you, are you and the young woman, are you together? Are you planning a future? Or y'all just kind of wanting to...
Yes, no. We're definitely planning a future. Like, we was talking about what we wanted way beforehand. And when we started talking, so I let her know. I said, listen, it's not going to be a thing of I'm going to come out there. I said, because I truly do want you, and she wants me the same way. So I contacted a lawyer and did everything I had to do and whatever it is to get her here. So I'm still going through that process now. So it's... That's in the process now, because when she do come here, we already look at each other as husband and wife. I'm faithful to her. Even though I'm here and she's faithful to me, because I already knew that, I said it don't make sense to lead someone down that path. I'm going to be out here running around, and especially like what the brother said about how the diseases and different things, because I know me personally that when I can't really be making love to someone and I'm not in love with them. That's just me. You know, some people can do that. Some people need to get it off. I understand that. I've never knocked that. But me personally, because I'm too into it in many ways, that I can, if I'm giving myself to someone, I can't just be with – I got to be with the person I truly do love. So, it's, you know, when I got divorced, it was a long time. Coworkers was like, you know, oh, you want to strip club? I said, I can't do strip clubs and all these other things. I said, you know, I'm just not that type of person. I'm looking for someone that's, you know, with me. You know, I'm just like, I wanted the girl next door, and that's why I had to get on a plane. I said, because people like her, you just don't meet them like that. It was spiritual. The way it was, just her as a person, I just said, this is someone I got to see if this could become a potential wife, or this will be, you know. So it started off, because we already sat down and laid the groundwork that, look, I'm not going to cheat on you. I think we're a little too old for that. Not that she's old, but I was like, I'm a little too old for that. It's better to get myself together and be faithful to you rather than me just, you know, I'm going to take a trip. Because people, even the people out there, like family members out there, was telling her, oh, he ain't coming over here. They stopped that when I came over there. Then when I left, then it became, oh, well, he's just going to forget about you. No, that's you know, they don't know me, so of course they're going to judge from whatever they've seen. But now they see that I haven't forgotten about her. I just told her, just keep them out your business. Let me finish my paperwork with this, you know, let immigration handle the rest, but you're going to be here with me. I said, because I could tell that this is the way this just went. It's just, it's destiny, you know, and it doesn't happen.
Well, I want to take another commercial break. We have a caller from the 912 area code. I just want to acknowledge them and thank them for calling in and letting them know that I'm going to bring them back after our commercial break. But before we go to commercial, does anyone else have a question for Alvin? Because this was perfect. This was a perfect dynamic to infuse into this discussion, how internet dating can turn international. So,
I have a question. Alvin, how do you work around the whole time difference thing?
The time difference is like now over there, she's awake now. It's daytime there now, but it's nighttime here. Well, the time difference, I mean, it's just I call her like in the morning time, like when I'm on, like if I'm on coffee break at work, I'll call her, you know. I even, like before I left, I made sure I bring her an iPad. So when we do the FaceTime, we do our FaceTime. We you know, the communication is really heavy between us. So it's like, but
wow.
I make sure I call. Yeah, I call her every day. We do the FaceTime every day. I want to make sure she's okay over there. She makes sure I'm okay over here. And, yeah, we go through the motions, you know.
That's what I have to do. I got to get a brother from another country. I'm either gonna have to do one or two things. I'm gonna have to come scoop you up from where you are and take a hair follicle from you and do something with your DNA and bottle it and inject it, or I'm going to have to, am I going to have to get a brother from another country? I'm going to have to learn another language and be on FaceTime or the iPad? That's what I got to do to get a brother to understand communication and the daily connection is important, because I can't get a brother across the street to do that.
Oh, wow.
To really understand that concept.
Yeah, I have to say amen to that, because I don't understand. You are actually putting two oxymorons together. I have issues with the whole internet dating, social night, website dating, whatever thing. I have issues. It doesn't work for me. And then you couple that with the long distance stuff. Oh man, I'm out. It's over for me. There's no way that I'm going to be doing any of that, because it just won't work. I was in a relationship with someone who said all the same things. I'm like, see, you are speaking the same way he spoke. Every single thing he said was the right thing. He was doing all this great stuff. We were building this wonderful future together. And then all of a sudden, he had no time to do any of the things that he promised to do. So I'm getting deja vu just listening to you. And in the whole time, I'm thinking, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you and
for
her.
She said that to me.
Because I don't understand how that's working. And this dude lives in Brooklyn.
Okay.
So I don't get it.
Okay, I'm going to have
to. I don't get it. I'm lost.
This is a perfect segue. I got to take a break. But this next commercial is going to sum it up. And thank you, Mark, in Houston, Texas. I see you, and I'm about to hear you in a second for the next minute.
This one's for you, Alex Stoney and Gigi, the representative. You know, the person who is, but they ain't. Now, remember, the representative can be good. They might be able to represent for 4 years or might get her done in 2 weeks. They have a sparkling smile. Best foot forward, great humor. The one you want to take home to mama. But if you got a minute, stick around. You'll get a chance to see the frog, ribbit, swallow your princess. You were just in the fitting room, getting ready for that wedding. Okay, now, I'm going to need you to hold your horses. Slow down. You got to know that all that glitters ain't gold. It ain't even gold-plated. So this is what I'm going to need you to do. Start seeing who's in front of you before they get under you. This has been Mark Said It in under a minute.
The representative. Mm-hmm. And that's who we usually meet, whether it's conventional dating or it's internet dating. So I want to welcome my listeners and the guest panelists back. You have reached the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your host, Bree, and we are discussing internet versus conventional dating. What's the difference? But Alvin, our listener and supporter of the Bree Life Radio Show, has just come in and infused what the difference is when you do international internet dating. So without further ado, first of all, before I go to our next caller, I want to let all our listeners know that we're approaching the 11 o'clock hour, which is typically when I end the show. But because this conversation is so in-depth, we're going to go overtime, but you must call in and be in queue before the show goes off air. So you got to call the call-in number 424-220-1862. Again, that number is 424-220-1862. And we are going to now bring on our caller from the 912 area code. Peace and blessings.
Good evening. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great.
This is Van from Brooklyn, but live in Savannah, Georgia. And thank you for the invitation.
I know Van.
Yes,
I know Van.
Yeah.
Hi, Van.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
What's
I'm doing great. And obviously, y'all are hot on here tonight. so let me. I mean,
I've been waiting for you a long time
really
to call in. We're very happy to have you, Van. And I know that on this topic, you have something to share, because this is something that we have in common.
It is. Okay.
Well, actually, I mean, Alvin's my hero. I wanted to know. I've been to China twice, but I wanted to know when we can go to Singapore personally. I wanted his autograph.
Wow.
I think that when you look at it, I think Alvin's experience is probably more the exception than the norm. You know, I look at it is that we live in a society now that is extremely global. People are much busier than they used to be. People are older now dating than they used to be. People are more technologically in tune to stuff, and so people are moving back and forth. For me, you know, obviously internet meeting works because obviously just, you know, at 11 o'clock or 9 o'clock or midnight when I'm finally getting in and settled, it's an opportunity for me to say, okay, well, let's see what's out there. Now, I'm not sure the internet dating will work for me because I think nothing – ultimately, the conventional part of being with someone, being in real time with them, talking with them, conversing with them, holding their hand, holding them, you know, you can't simulate that with Siri or somebody over the internet. So, you know, I think that, you know, if it's used right, I think it could be an asset, you know, but I think if you rely on internet dating for the sake of dating, that it's not really dating, it's a simulation, because, you know, a person might snore. The person might smell. It may not wash their behind. I mean, it could be a whole bunch of things that, you know, when you get in that person's face. And, I mean, and here, living in a military community, you have people here to get married. They're in the military. They love each other. I love you, baby. No, you love me. I know I love you more. We love each other. And then, you know, they're deployed all the time. And then when they're home, they're together 15, 20 minutes, and now the relationship is over because they realize they can't stand each other in the same place. So, I mean, I just wanted to kind of, you know, throw that out. You know, again, I think that everything, if used correctly, could be an asset. If it's used wrongly, it could be a curse. So, that was me.
And that was well said.
Thank
you. He drops the mic. Well, I want us to also bring our other brother at arms or back on the line because I'm sure that he has something to say. As we are approaching the 11 o'clock hour, that's our brother Mark in Houston, Texas. Come on,
yeah,
Mark.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always loved Maria. I mean, Maria keeps the fire going in this whole thing. She the one. I mean, I love Maria because see, this is what I figured is Maria ain't gonna do it. She already said he's crazy for going across the world. I mean, because first of all,
it's gonna happen.
You know, so I'm digging that. See, so what we know is this, and again, I'm not picking on Red, but I probably am, but I'm not, but I am, but I'm not. And that's because, you feel me? Because I like Red. But anyway. But Red, is, when Red is ready for a relationship, or if she is in a relationship, because I don't know, I have no idea, but whatever the combination, what it'll be, we are confident in knowing she will not meet this guy on the internet. She ain't going to meet him on the internet. We ain't got to worry about that. So if she has a relationship and it's not successful, it won't be because of the internet. Mm-hmm. It won't be because of the internet. And if it is successful, it won't be because of the internet or in spite of the internet. Conversely, when all of us have had whatever relationships we have, and I'll speak for myself because the brother in the Singapore situation, I mean, it is what it is because they said he was crazy, but I was in a relationship. I lived in Minneapolis, and I moved from Minneapolis to Houston to be in a relationship that lasted
That's the same
five
country.
Years. But wait. Let me break it down to you. I'm going to tell you what people said to me. You would have thought I was going to
Singapore. Including yourself, free.
That's what I'm trying to explain to you. You would have thought I was going to Singapore. You would have thought I was going to Antarctica. I was like, wait a minute. We're still on the same. We're still in the same. Country. Oh, man, you're going way down, way. See, just what they say, I'm going way down to Houston. Way down to Houston. You feel me? So I'm already knowing. I'm being maligned. I'm being questioned. People want to know if I have some level of psychological fitness that should be addressed. I mean, all of that for the simple fact that I was going way down to another state, not country, another state. And the state, yes, the state was, I don't know, 18 hours away in a car, but it was still in the United States. Now, you don't know what's going on down there. I said, I know the alligator's going to be waiting for my ass. What?
Okay, can I ask you a question, Mark. No, I know a lot of the answers to some of these questions, but and I'm not, and I'm going to do it without disclosing too much information. But I just want to ask you this one question, because this is a typical fear, one that Red has, one that I've had, one that I have also had the displeasure of having to be exposed to. But do you feel that you knew enough information about the individual before you packed your stuff up and got on the road and took your behind way down to Houston, Texas?
Yeah, I did feel I knew enough. I did feel that I knew enough. That's the only reason I would have went. If I didn't think I knew enough, I wouldn't have went. Number one. Number two, you got to also understand, for me, outside of my life being lost, which I really didn't think I would lose my life, and obviously I'm here, so it didn't happen. I am alive. Outside of losing my life, I didn't feel like I had a lot to lose, because I was single. My children were grown. I can do what the hell I want to do. So if all else fails, I can bring my ass back to Chicago, Minneapolis. I can go to Brooklyn. It didn't make a difference if it didn't work. So for me, well, no big deal. And if the brother got his passport and he got money in his pocket, he can do what he can do. He can fly his ass right back from Singapore, just like whatever. See, so to me, I'm not tripping on all of that. And that was no big issue for me. The big issue for me was, did I feel connected to the individual? That's all I had to figure out. Was there a connection? But all that stuff like that, the fear, first of all, I can't live a life in fear any damn way. Because that ain't life. That ain't living. So I can't do that. I ain't worried about none of that stuff. Because one thing I know is, my wife of 20 years was somebody I met in church. And there was no internet involved in that. And she ain't my wife no more. Anyway, all I'm saying is, success in a relationship is success in a relationship. I understand people put pictures up that aren't the same pictures and all that. Just like when you meet a guy at a bar that says a lot of stuff that he says, and I know all of you think y'all can divine and y'all can read really well by just looking in a man's eyes, whatever. People don't even have the same eye color no damn more, so I don't know who you're looking at half the damn time. Even in your face. Females, they wear all kind of stuff, from weaves to everything, all kind of appendages. They can buy booties and everything. So, I still don't know. Right. I'm not saying we don't. I'm saying I already, look, the brothers can do what. So my point is, so while we're sitting there in each other's face, and I think I know whatever I think I know, girl, he charmed me. Oh, he was this. Oh, man, she was, okay. Time is going to only tell what that really is going to be about. Because guess what? There's a whole lot of folks that met. Because remember, it used to be really bad. You don't want to meet nobody in no bar. Really? A bar? Now we make the bar sound like it's okay next to the internet. I don't know.
Well, now there's a fancy word for them, lounges.
Lounge.
Around. Okay, you're not meeting people at bars anymore.
Hey, don't it?
You're meeting them in lounges.
But don't lounge people around. That's all I'm saying. I don't know if I want to meet somebody in a lay around place. Anyway. Maybe I do.
Duane, what say you about what you've heard so far? Is Duane there?
Yes.
Okay. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. What is your feeling about the three gentlemen on the line? Alvin, our brother Alvin, that is an international lover.
Yeah.
And my brother from Brooklyn that lives in the South now. And of course our brother at arms, Mark, in the Dirty in Houston, Texas.
The continental lover.
The continental lover, yes.
it just really goes to show that even though for one person internet dating could be a bad experience, but to another, you know, he can turn it, you know, he could turn it into a great experience. And that's what I get, you know, and I'm really enjoying this conversation. I think it's very much needed. But that's what I see, you know, and I mean, you know, to the brother, I forgot your name, but to the brother that has the lady out in, was that Singapore?
Alvin.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. In Singapore.
Alvin.
Man.
Alvin.
I mean, man, you've got that really takes some guts, man, because I don't even know if I would be that brave, you know, but look how that turned out, you know, he sees something special and she him. So, you know, in this situation, I just see that, you know, what could work for one, or what can't work for, or what wouldn't work for one can work for another.
Oh, okay.
That's true.
That's a good way to sum it up. Let me ask our other guest panelist, Marie, how do you feel about what you've heard tonight on the show, and give me your feelings. Has it changed anything for you? I mean, not in the sense that you're going to change your status, you know, with your current boyfriend, but I mean, does it make it seem reasonable what you attempted to do by using social media to meet people?
Okay, I'm sorry. It wasn't my intention to use social media, but since I did. I think that's something that if this relationship does not work out and I do meet someone else on there, I would. Because it's the same, like I keep saying, it's the same thing as if I meet the gentleman in the street, whether it worked or it didn't work. And I get the same experience, you know, going through social media. But I think my next encounter, if this doesn't work out, would actually have to be face-to-face from hearing everything else. Well, that's all that I can say for now. But I do have a question for Alvin. For some reason, his whole thing bothers me.
Okay, another protagonist.
I don't want you to take it personal at all.
No, never at all. We do.
The young lady that you met on Facebook, mm-hmm. How much younger or older is she than you?
No, she's 37.
She's 37, so she's younger than you?
Yeah, and I'm...
Okay,
what about her
that stood out that you chose her out of all the other women that you said, you know, like, you know, women will hit on you or whatever, but you just go by. Why her? Because it really...
Her.
I knew that was coming.
It wasn't
going to end this show. Until we did that question.
To
use the louder inside voice.
Yeah,
Alvin, you want to know why you didn't choose a sister?
She is a sister. She's Asian.
She's what? She's what?
She is a sister. She's Asian.
Oh, God. Don't go there, Al.
That's why y'all know about the Afro-Asiatic connection. Y'all missing. You remember the
I know, but to the average sister, that's not going to make it.
I wasn't even going to go there. That's not even where I was going to go. He kept saying that he felt that he made a connection where he had to travel, you know, all across the world to meet this woman. You know, love is love. Wherever you find love, go for it. But my thing is, you know, like, she's this, she's that, whatever, and you try to help her get over here. I don't understand what makes you think that she's going to remain the same, because I can think of 100 reasons why, you know, she would befriend you.
I've heard that too in the beginning, but like I said, after, you know, we knew each other for 2 years. She was on my page, and then almost a year later after that, it's almost about 3 years before we even really had contact like that. And then, you know, it was her spirit, and we talked. And, you know, it was just such a realness that, you know, it didn't start like that. You know, it started more or less like a friendship, and then, you know, we started getting close, and then the closer we got, it became more of, you know, we really got to know each other. And within
that
time,
did you give anybody else that time of day that you gave her in the States?
also?
I honestly didn't, because after my divorce, I was too busy recouping from that. And I wasn't really ready to really go into anything else, because from the women I was meeting, I was like, this ain't going nowhere. And I'm not going to waste their time and let them waste mine. So I never, and then I didn't find anybody that attracted me like that. You know, it wasn't, the way she was what drew me, I wasn't finding that, you know, and just her, just how she is as a person, I wasn't, you know, just her inner being is what drew me, you know, and I found myself falling for her. And then, but I wouldn't let her know too much until I knew where it was really going, because I wanted to make sure I wasn't being played games with either. You know, so as I got to know her, we spent that time in between, more or less like showing there's a loyalty between us, that we were really serious about each other. Because I told her, I said, before I come there and before, you know, anything, at least you'll get to see that I am loyal to you, and that if I'm going to be any type of husband to you and you're going to be my wife, we're going to at least show each other how we would be if we should, you know, partake of a union like that. And in between that time before I went to Singapore, it was, you know, it wasn't just a sexual thing. It was what are you going to be when we, you know, because I told her I didn't want the relationship getting dry or getting boring or whatever. I said, I want to make sure we keep it alive before I even left America. I have to make sure this thing is alive. So the good feeling I had when I was on the plane going to see her was the same feeling I have now when I left, you know.
Okay.
So
Well, I hope it works for you. I really do.
Oh, thanks.
Well, yes, I think we all wish the best, you know, and because you're a genuine brother, I know you're
exactly.
really
That's
doing
my
this.
Concern. Him being
you're coming
brother.
From a place
but,
of, you're coming from your heart with this, deep down,
so.
Down in the pit, you all in. So, you know, I have to give you a big high five on being
you.
So committed. To making such a relationship work, because listen, we all know, and we've been in them, relationships that you live within a 5 to 50 mile radius with a person, it's hard to keep those relationships going and fresh
yeah.
and passionate.
I've been there.
You know, and here you have one that's 10,000 miles away. And you're doing better than a lot of us on the line has done. So,
yeah.
you know, big up to you on that.
Absolutely.
Here's what I want to say, because I haven't given my opinion really all night, and I know that's unusual about a particular topic. But personally, I've done my share of internet dating on and off for the better part of 10 years. I haven't done it consistently. I've done it on and off, because there was one period of time for 3.5 of those 10 years I was in a relationship. And it was a relationship that came from meeting the person on the internet. And I think... I'm pretty sure that one of the reasons why the last commercial was created by my very good friend and brother at arms, Mark in Houston, Texas, about the representative was because I shared my story with him about this individual. And it's important for you to know who you're in front of before you get under them. That is so poignant, because the representative... Sometimes, you know, people have a lot of stamina as the representative. And you wind up, sometimes it takes 3 to 5 years for that representative to say, look, I'm tired as hell, and I'm going to sit down, and you stand up. And by the time this person stands up, you have already relocated and changed jobs. And gone through a whole lot of changes. Is internet dating for me right now in my life where I am? No. I really don't want to do it anymore. Because here's the thing, me, as a person who worked in IT for 18 years, has lost. And that is the interaction, the face-to-face interaction between myself and people at large. Not, you know, not just even in a dating situation, just interacting with people. Because I got so accustomed to being at home behind this computer screen, going through these profiles, and because I'm so detail-oriented, I'm reading and hanging on and resting on every word that these people are saying. And then because I'm listening so detailed, I've already generated my questions, what I'm going to ask these people once I get them on the phone, and I'm trying to filter through all of these profiles and these people and things that they said. Over a 10-year period, and my book will certainly depict my whole experience, it's 10 chapters, and every chapter is a year of my life interacting on the internet with people. And I met 45 people. I physically, face-to-face, met 45 people. Of those 45 people, I got two of the very best friends that any person could have in the world. But I went from, and I ran the gambit of experiences. I went from, you know, having one of the best dates of my entire life to having to put an order of protection out on two people. So, you know, at where I am now, I do not want to do internet dating anymore. I want to meet someone by chance. I want to, and I want to put myself in places to be able to encounter someone, because of the last 4 or 5 years of my life, I have not allowed myself that opportunity to really interact and engage with people for challenges that I was going through, but also because I became too accustomed with this social media way of meeting and interacting with people. So, you know, it's a good tool, and as Van said, it, you know, it has its goods and it's, and it comes with good and bad things, but, you know, at this point in time where I am, that's not how I want to do it anymore. I would say of all of the experiences that I've had, the last half dozen have been crap. And, you know, it's time to do something different. You cannot continue to do the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different result. So now I'm going back to the old-fashioned way of doing things. Got to get out. Got to get out. Got to get out.
Bree,
yes, yes.
So there's two things. There's a couple things. I mean, I've been listening to this. I listened to the young lady and what she said to the brother about, you know, how he could be sure about what, you know, the person and what she might do. And it reminded me of things I used to hear when athletes used to have to deal with local girls and what their motives were. People say, how you know she ain't just trying to get to you because of your money or she ain't trying. So people's motives are always going to be interesting regardless of whether they're around or not. When you said
I could answer for myself. My whole reasoning behind asking Alvin that was because he's here in the States. There are a lot of black women. Because what he said was she was posting up pictures of her cooking and doing nanny duties. And I couldn't understand how that attracted you, you know, to someone that's on the other side of the world. I also have my own issues when it comes to my black men going outside. So that's really why I had to ask him. So when I asked him, it was more of a that's my brother. I don't know him. Know him. That's my brother. So I want to know, why would my brother go outside to find love? If he finds love, I'm very happy. I support it 100%. But I needed to understand why all the way over there, not only all the way over there, a whole different time zone.
Right. Well, my point, the only point I was making about that was the fact that, I understand that you had a reason that was beyond what I was, but it did bring up the point about the fact that family, friends, and onlookers always have questions about who we engage with. That's all I was thinking about. I was thinking about, you brought up a point, while I know you were meaning it from a whole different standpoint, it did bring to light one thing, that we always have people in our lives or onlookers, that's not even directly in our lives, they have questions about our dating thing, number one. Number two, Bree said something about the reason she wanted to do terrestrial, I call it terrestrial dating outside of the internet, as opposed to internet dating. And she said she wanted to do something different. She said, she was talking about the whole concept that, you know, basically, you know, if you want something different, a result, for instance, you need to do something different. Here's my only issue with what Bree is saying. While I understand she's talking about the medium, but the method of how you analyze your interactions, what I find to be is people still looking the same way. So if they look in a bar or they look online, they're still using the same type of mindset in their search. So if you don't change the way you think about things, forget the medium. Because the medium is just a delivery system. It's not. It is not the reason. Because you'd be surprised how closely the people you meet mirror the people online or where they're in the bar.
Yeah,
you know, they say we attract people. So even if Bree, and I'm using Bree because she put herself out there, thank you for using yourself as a guinea pig, as you always do, in any case. But when you do decide to do whatever you do, you still have to look from how you're thinking. Because remember, to some extent, and I'm not talking about you directly in this instance, Bree, but we think the way we think, and we attract, you know, people talk about the law of attraction, but we attract a lot of stuff, you know, by virtue of how we feel, we think, and we communicate. So whether you're communicating it online through phony pictures, I understand people can play, or whether you're doing it on the street, the question is, what are you doing? Because I have a friend, and she told me yesterday this. She said, she dates on the street, so to speak. Now, I mean, on the street like she, you know, on the street. But anyway, she dates on the street. You dig? So she's dating. She knows she said, and I think this is one of the bigger issues, which I can't wait till you talk about this in another show, because we're going to talk about this. But the reality is this. A lot of us, especially if we're over 45 dating, we're tired of dating, period. I don't care what medium it is. We want to believe we would have found out what we needed to find by now. And she's 50, and she's like, I'm tired of dating. I'm tired of having to meet, however I meet him. I want to have had to have him by now. But I haven't. So now I still got the yearning inside, but I'm tired. I'm tired of talking.
Me too.
I'm tired of looking. I'm tired. I'm tired.
Yes.
I am tired.
Yes, and I think that's a lot.
I'm so tired that when I'm outside, let me tell you something. Before I started the show, I have a wireless mouse that you run on the batteries, right? But I needed AA batteries. I was like, oh, my God, it's 7:30, and this damn mouse ain't working. I got to go to the store and get some damn batteries. So I go to the store and get the batteries. When I walk in the store, there's a guy standing there, just like I like him. Tall, brown skin.
Just like I like him.
Smelling good. But when he opened his mouth and looked at me and said something smart, I just went completely. I said, look here, don't even play with me right now, okay? I mean, and I normally don't even come out that way. But you know why I came across that way? Because what?
I'm tired.
Exactly,
you're tired.
You're tired.
I'm tired.
It's like Mark believes that he believes something.
I'm tired. I'm tired.
So, you know, they get to a point where you become extremely dismayed, and then not to you know, put my sister on blast, but my sister at arms red, you know.
Why?
Then you got the red effect happening to you. I felt
Woo.
The red. I felt.
Red
I
red
actually.
Red.
When that chocolate brown brother looked at me, and you know what? If he would have just said the right thing,
see? See?
Who knows?
See?
I might have started the show at 9:01.
They do it to themselves.
See?
Because
thank
you're a good
thank
sister.
You.
You're a good sister. They shoot themselves in the foot. And that's
but
just
you know,
what happens.
And see,
but
that's
you know,
the
tired.
Problem. But that's the problem. Where are the good men?
Whoa,
don't
do that.
Hold on.
That's not me talking. Stop it.
Can I finish? Where are the good men?
Oh, I'm lying.
My fault. Hold on. You are attached. I'm single. That I and my wonderful host, Bree, are people. They are both men for us. You're attached. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about Alvin.
I'm saying. Well, Patricia said she had some.
Yeah, out of our demographic.
Okay.
She's cutting us off at the knees.
It's
like, oh, okay, well.
But you know what?
And I really don't want to be, you know what? I'm sorry. I love my sister that came on and supported the show. I think it's a great concept. But I don't know if I could do it in 5 minutes talking
meaning,
to somebody.
Yeah.
Well, too long winded. I'm giving my initial, you know, Mac. I'm putting my Mac on in the first 5 minutes. Going from seat to seat 5 minutes and thinking that, you know, something can really come of it. That might be a good social thing to do as something different to do. I don't know what the success rate on speed dating is, and I think maybe I'm going to have to do a little more research about that. We got another caller coming in. They wanted to be oblivious, so, you know, I can't tell, but it's all one, so I'm going to bring you on. Peace and blessings.
Oblivious. How are you guys doing? I've spoken to Bree before.
Oh, my goodness. Where have you been?
Oh,
this is our
on.
Very good friend. I know who you are.
I know
you
do.
You've
neglected me terribly.
I know the voice.
My goodness.
Just letting everybody know. But look here. What did you want to hear from the guy? I was listening to your diatribe about the guy.
Lord have mercy. You had to be the one to ask that question, right?
You're damn right. What did you want to hear from him?
Something other than the stupid stuff that came out of his mouth. I mean, polite.
To make an initial.
I mean, you know, sometimes I can understand when, you know, when you encounter all the fabulousness that's standing in front of you. You might get all this sunshine. You might get a little dizzy. But
okay, you're filibustering on me. Let me ask you another question.
He could have said something simple like
there's a lot of background noise. I'm trying to get a little bit clarity here. What would you have said? Tell me what you would have said.
If it was in reverse, or if I was the man approaching me, I would have said something like, you know, those are some very nice rain boots you have on.
Wow.
Or, you know, just something simple to kind of break the ice, to engage the conversation, to kind of gauge where this person is coming from. You know, because
right,
maybe they didn't
and
have
I'm glad
a good
we
day.
Got that out, finally. But now what I would encourage you to do in terms of reciprocity and mutual display of interest, you do that to men. Men want
all
to
the
be
time.
Courted.
All the time.
Okay, you do that
all the
to
time.
Men. Share that responsibility because quality men want to be courted. Now, you guys, I heard the lady in the background, and I want the guys to buck up a little bit and not have what's called TBS, tiny ball syndrome. I want the guys to go ahead and see what they want out of a relationship because that's usually not heard, what guys want. Flood the airwaves.
I would like
women.
To hear from Duane.
Well, they already said they want high standards, low tolerance.
That's what Duane said.
Wait,
that's what
you know what?
Hey, what we want, we want you to be available. We want you to come up and be friendly with us, say hi. In other words, create an atmosphere that would foster a potential relationship. Make things easy, not difficult.
Okay.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
I want to say something. Okay. What he just came on and said actually was where I was kind of going, but a different way, because he kind of came with a little different, you know, different energy. My point is pretty much the same. The reason why Bree is upset, Red upset, or anybody else is upset, is this reason. And it's nothing wrong, because this is what a woman told me yesterday. She said, Mark, isn't something wrong with me getting what I want? The issue is, I said, no, the problem you're having is what you want. And this is all I'm saying. I'm not saying there's something wrong with what you want, but because of what you want, you're going to always, that's what your measuring stick is. So whatever it is, whatever your fantasy is, whatever your belief is, whatever it is that you're going out here with that you think you want to see and you know you want to see, as soon as you do not see it, you react. And even if it's a man saying what he wants in a woman, it's the same thing. So our problems lie and our solutions lie in what we want. So we got to do some, as Bree likes to say, granular. You're going to have to do some granular work on yourself as to what exactly is this, what it is. Because if you're older than 45 and you're looking at relationships, then obviously you have history behind you that got you to where you are. And you're going to have to go through it with somewhat of a fine-tooth comb to ask yourself, as opposed to saying, where are the good men out there? The question would be, why aren't you drawing them?
Exactly. And what I would encourage each one of you to do, as opposed to talking the issue to death, is start introducing people. Because a lot of times the only way that two quality people will meet is through what's known as a referral. Internet thing is stupid. It's mostly dysfunction junction. And so you guys need to, most of you, now let me just be honest, because that's the only way I can be. About 90% of you, and some guys who are a little bit more experienced than I am, say it's even higher, but you all don't make good girlfriend and good wife material. Given the proclivity, that's why I put you on pause on the show before.
Wait a minute, you generalize.
Allow me to finish the point. There's a plethora of good quality men out there. Women tend to be what I call very deficient in their ability. They're inept at starting relationships.
I am not buying into this. I just stopped dating somebody. I was dating someone for 5 months. I made myself emotionally available, physically available. I was very patient, very understanding of his set of circumstances. This is a 46-year-old man that doesn't take good care of himself. He's got high blood pressure.
Why you got to do all of that?
Problem. Hold on. Bree, you chose that man.
You chose him
as opposed to a better man. You chose him, so that's your ineptness.
I'm not
buying into that. But
why
aren't
you buying into it?
Here's the thing.
Why won't you buy it? It's yours.
No. I bought the representative. And then this sick ass person showed up to choose the wrong person
and then complain.
I chose the representative, someone who told me and was showing me in the beginning that he was emotionally available, that he wanted a commitment. He was saying and doing all the right things, and then when he got comfortable and marinated, the representative got up and
I understand that, Bree. Is he the only choice you had? Was that the only choice?
No, I mean, of course there are many choices, but listen, what can I do? There's only 24 hours in a day. How many daggone men you think I can date in a week? That's not how I'm built. I like to give a person opportunity to see who they are without distraction. See, that's how men are. Men would rather, some men, not all men, some men would rather date multiple people all at the same time and be damn distracted.
Sex, I just said date, get to know.
Well, that's what I did. I was dating and getting to know him. And by the time I found out everything I need to know, I said enough. I'm done. I can't do that.
Let me tell you what the problem is. Women don't listen. They have all the damn answers, and they're always screwing up. If they would take a moment and listen, what's the definition of insanity? Doing what you're doing. If you would take a moment and listen, I'm giving you another option, another alternative. Date several men at the same time. Have fun with them. Talk about real issues, but date several men at the same time so you don't get pigeonholed with the same man. Now, Since you're dating several men, don't do things that are expensive. Go to the park. Take walking dates. Do things that are very inexpensive that you can afford. And that way you'll get to know several men that you can make a better selection from.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you this question because you've been listening. What do you think about – oh, police. What do you think about Alvin's international – relationship?
Well, is that the gentleman that you said had someone 10,000 miles away?
Yeah.
That's me.
That's a long ways away. That's further than a 777 can fly.
Yeah, but the money I paid the lawyer, I'm going to shorten that distance real quick.
Yeah. Well, look here. If the communication and the relationship is progressing and it's not a burden on either one of them, fine. Right. I have no problem with it. Not
there you go. There you go. And you know what? Wait a minute. This is the thing that I'm hearing him say.
What I said is that putting the greater emphasis on internet dating, because you have to meet anyway. Look, women are meeting guys every day, good quality guys, looking them in the eyes, and the women are walking away like little children. They're not opening conversation.
He loves the inflammatory shit.
Communication
like
is
little
crucial.
Children.
But then when you ask the woman, well, why don't you start the communication? Then we see the backpedaling and the diversion. So all I'm saying is that the average woman can meet five or six quality men in her immediate community. But what I'm encouraging you guys to do, you guys meet quality people, introduce them, get involved. That way you'll have more firsthand knowledge of the dating process.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm listening to what he's saying. Look, Bree, I'm listening to what he's saying. And the funny thing about it is we can sanitize what he said a little more because he likes to see it inflammatory-wise. And I like it, though, because there's a lot of good energy.
Yeah, he likes to come on and just get me on.
I love it, though. But I love it. But here's the thing. I like that.
And I enjoy it. I always enjoy a conversation with this nice gentleman on the line.
And that's why I don't believe in throwing a baby out with the bathwater. So when I listen to the essence of what he's saying, he's right. Because here's the thing. When I heard Red say, where are the good men at? And then when I heard you talk about the one brother you walked into the store and he, you know, whatever, then he opened his mouth and all this kind of stuff, I started thinking, I said, you know, at the end of the day, do you really want to meet somebody that's
no?
And now everybody's going to say,
here we go.
Wait, let me say this real quick. Let me say this real quick. And everybody's going to say resoundingly, yes. But then if I judge your actions might betray what you say you want. So you got to see if there's a level of congruency between what you're asking and how you're proceeding. And it may not be. It may not be, though. So that's why I said I'm not going to go as inflammatory as he's saying, because I like what he says. It's kind of good. It's really good for TV, too, you know, saying the stuff that he's saying. I love it.
But wait a minute, sir.
I'm going to say why I reacted the way I did also. Because
okay, I'm direct. I'm not.
Yeah, I had such a nice conversation with a gentleman.
I agree.
I seem to know how to communicate. No, listen to me. Listen to me. Because I've been quiet all night. All right? The reason why I reacted the way I did was because I happened to have an hour and 15-minute conversation with a real gentleman tonight. And he was telling me from a genuine place what it is that he wants and what he's looking for, what he's hoping for. And I was like, wow, this brother really seems like, because he done been through some stuff. And see, sometimes we don't come out just knowing everything. We got to go through some stuff to learn how to be a better us, how to be a better you, how to be a better me. And after he's gone through some stuff, he's learned some things. He learned, firstly, that he had to work on himself first, repairing himself first to prepare himself to be a better man for a better woman. And when I was listening, like the brother just said, women don't listen. Well, no, that's not true. You say all women don't listen. No, this is a woman that listens. And I heard everything he said. Then I walked out of this house. I went to the store, encountered a gorgeous black man, but he had to open up his mouth and mess everything up. And that just turned my stomach. I was saying, you know what? This is like really jacked up. He done messed up my high. Because I was still kind of like, you know, vibing off of the conversation that I had with this man that knows how to communicate and who clearly communication is important.
What were three things the man said that he wanted that you can share with us? What were three major things that he said he wanted that impressed you so much?
Well, the first thing that he said, because I was sharing some personal experiences of my own, and he concurred with me that communication is really, really important, and it's a lost form between men and women, especially men and women of color. It's a constant thing that I've said on past shows. And Mark agrees with me, even to the point where he said, and I share his ideology that you have to have a willingness to communicate. And it seems like that is a systemic problem between men and women of color. We don't, and also what you just said, how some way, and I'm going to just fine-tune it and say some women don't really listen, or we hear the things, but we want to make them something else. I'm not making something. If you tell me I don't want you, I believe you. And I'm not trying to make that anything else other than what it is. But there are some women that would hear that and think to themselves, oh, well, you know, after I done wore off on him, cooked him enough meals, cleaned his house, did this and that, he's going to change his perspective. No, he's not going to change his perspective.
Okay.
I don't want to lose track. So far, all I've heard you say out of three, the one that was communication.
Also, he wants someone that understands what it is in today's climate with all the challenges that we face, what it is to be committed to one another. He's not looking for willy-nilly. He's looking for a real commitment.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you one quick question. Do you think most men, if they told a woman early on that they were looking for commitment, do you think the average woman would be impressed with that?
I'm not saying that. You're telling me that I was impressed. I'm not saying that I was impressed, but
so
I'm asking you a question.
Listen,
it's refreshing to hear, because here's the thing. See, you're acting like you're a woman of color dealing with men of color.
Well,
and I'm on this side of the table.
I'm asking
on this
a very,
side of the table.
I'm, ask,
In middle age, and I'm
okay,
telling you, it ain't easy.
I'm asking
and
a
I've dealt
very
with
standard.
All different types of professional men, the blue collar men, and the older men get, the more difficult they become. Some men get, the more difficult they become to deal with because they get stuck in their way.
Okay, but Brink,
when you get used to doing something one particular way, you don't want to change.
Brink,
average woman would be impressed with a guy telling her he would like commitment.
But wait a minute, let me say something.
No, I'm not so much impressed, but it's not something that men usually say. And he wasn't saying this to me like he was trying to court me or to engage.
He was just letting you know what
he was just overall saying what he would like to build to. He's not talking about out the gate with
somebody.
No, I
understand. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have communication and commitment were important to him. What is the other thing that you were impressed by?
Oh my goodness!
If I can jump in just for a moment.
Sure, please. Why don't you?
Yeah, and I was actually the guy. It's just such a good conversation. I just really didn't jump into it. But one of the things that I did, and she's referring to my status, and we talked earlier. And one of the things that
I was trying to give you, but you put yourself on Front Street, so there you are.
Well, I mean, I don't mind being in the fire. It's no problem.
Okay.
One of the things that I'm attracted to, where I'm at in life, you know, everybody's in different places. But what I'm attracted to is somebody who actually has a set of standards. If, you know, I've had women come to me with pictures, you know, saying let's hook up. I've had women say, you know, let's get a hotel. I've had women do all kinds of things, and that is just not appealing to me, you know, based on where I'm at in life. You know, I'm sure, you know, you fellas, y'all may be in a different place, but where I'm at, it's not working for me. I need more. I need somebody that actually has a set of standards, somebody that actually has some kind of intellect. You know, and I know I'm going a little against the grain with today's culture, but you know that's what attracts me
be you.
To a woman.
Be you.
That's what attracts me to a woman. That's really what turns me. You know, I would do anything to catch a woman like that, and that's where I'm at. You know, I'm only speaking for myself.
So I have a question.
Let
me say this real quick, though. So I'm listening to this, and this is quite interesting. Number one, and it was three things that hit me. Number one, we, meaning men and women, we want relationship with each other. We want that. We want a relationship. We want to connect with each other. Number two, I can promise you, everybody without a fault wants to communicate. Here's the big issue. Men and women speak a different language. We don't. So just like anybody that will go to a foreign country, would need to do, you need to learn the language. If the two groups are not willing to learn each other's language, we're going to continue. Because, see, all of this stuff about we don't want, trust me, we all want the same thing. Because it's kind of the pleasure principle concept. Everybody wants pleasure, and they don't want pain. We don't want pain, we want pleasure. We want things to work. We don't want things not to work. Now, having said that, once we've gotten that basis down, now the work comes in, because we always talk about communicating, and me and Bree have talked about this before, but communicating, that's cool. Everybody communicates any damn way. We always communicate. That ain't a problem. It's the quality of communication based upon understanding the language, understanding verbiage, understanding nuances in communicating. Well, we don't. We just do it. And what happens usually is we get what we get, and it is what it is a lot of times. And it lasts forever, how long it lasts, and most of the time we don't even know why it didn't last. Because ain't nobody doing the work. What I will say, and the other gentleman said, which is so true, and I was reading something, and I was having a conversation not long ago about this. Number one, when people introduce you to other people, especially a married couple, when a married couple introduces two people, usually they have a relationship, because most married people have single friends. And the reality is this. When you go through a job, for instance, a lot of times, it's not unusual, obviously, when you're interviewing or whatever, they ask you for what? References. The issue is this. References don't guarantee shit. They don't. But what it does give you is that somebody else actually speaks well of you. Another human being that I have contact with just spoke well of you. Now, can you change? Obviously, you can change. But for some small amount of time, you were able to show yourself to be presentable to somebody else that had no interest in you. And they saw value in you. So they saw so much value in you that they want to bring you to me because they know me and they saw some value in me. That is actually a cool, almost old-fashioned way of doing things. But I don't think it won't work. But I still think even after you bring the people together, they still got to find out what frequency each other are broadcasting on. And just like any other radio station, the bottom line is, especially with AM radio stations, you know how AM radio stations are. You're driving down the street, if the closer you get, the better the signal get. But even if the better the signal get, if you don't hit it right on that number, guess what happens? You just get a lot of static. You get a little voices in and out. You kind of hear sometimes, and sometimes you don't hear. So dialing directly into that frequency, that's a hard thing. But that's work, and that's communication, and that's learning a language. And I don't know, because I think that the reason we're 50, 45, whatever we are, and we're still working through some of these issues is because we have a whole trail of folks behind us that we've been involved in that prove that we were deficient in some of those areas. And
what? Here's what I want to say as in response to me picking him. We picked each other, and I'm glad that I took 5 months to get to know him. He's not a bad man. He's just not the right man for me. And I'm glad that I didn't get all in. Because when you don't take the time and listen and watch and pay attention to the signs and behave accordingly and act and react accordingly to those signs, you can make some bad decisions. So There wasn't wrong with any there was nothing wrong with the fact that I took my time. I'm glad I took my time. Because maybe Sabrina of old, when she was in her early to mid-20s, she would have been hasty. Yeah. I'm just saying.
It's fine as you is. Somebody should have snatched you up, CD'd you up, and said, that's that. You're mine.
Well, Alvin, you get on international flights. So
I had to. I didn't. When
had
did
to
because
you lost
to
me, right?
I lost you. Right? I didn't see you to win, but because if I would have saw you up to now, I wouldn't have been on no flight. I'd have said, okay, I'm right here. Here I am. Bang. Because I said,
she's
you
still
know,
here.
You want somebody? Oh, well, I can't do
uh-oh,
it.
Uh-oh, don't start nothing now.
I can't do it. You know, because, I mean, if it could
listen,
been
I know martial arts.
I
don't want my Asian sister to come over here and then we'd be fighting on Carroll Street.
No. But it could have went another way, but I didn't see you in, like, you know, forever. But if I'd have found you,
I know.
Way,
I'm sorry?
I said, you want a good woman at the end of the day. And I know you're a good woman.
Of course.
You know,
and you have to make, but you know what? I do agree with the gentleman. You have to make yourself available. And just available, but approachable. You can't expect to exercise wanting to exercise conventional means of meeting someone and you sour. You just look like, you know, you have you colossus. You know, you got titanium from head to toe. You know, you have to make yourself somewhat emotionally and physically approachable and available. Else, you know, it's not going to work, whether it's over the internet or whether it's a chance meeting, you know, being in the city, riding a train, whatever.
Yeah,
you know, you have
sure
to do
Bree.
That.
So Bree,
sure,
I would like to know what
single,
you mean.
Single for a reason. That's all I do know. I mean, one thing I can say, Bree, is this. Anybody that's single is single for a reason, and they need to figure that out. That's all I'm saying. If they want to blank,
because
if they want to go
outside,
because you haven't
found the right person yet, Mark. Well, Mark, you just got in a relationship. Stop it.
Bree, is my mic open?
Wait a minute.
The gentleman would like to speak. Come on.
So you're getting tired of race.
Yeah, well.
I love Rhea.
stop picking on me.
I hear you, sir. What say you?
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Okay, there's a lot of confusion going on. I don't know what's actually happening. Bree, you have to direct traffic. What I was going to ask is, you talk
about
wait.
We don't come on the Bree Life Radio show and realize how I move the crowd, because I move the crowd very well. Okay?
The Cardinal CNC.
Pump your brakes now, because I can put you on mute.
We can't find them no more.
That's you know, that's how
I
move the crowd.
What I'm trying to tell you is there's a delay. There is a delay.
Yeah.
We know that.
Do
the best that we can.
That's
blog talk. But what I was asking you is you talked about a woman should make herself, what, available or accessible. And I would like to ask you, what does that actually mean? And do you consider yourself a good date?
Oh, I think I'm a very good date because I engage, I good eye contact. I try to discuss topics that are not too, that would turn the person off. I probably talk to the person enough on the phone to gauge what would be good conversation over dinner or whatever the venue is for our date. I'm a lot of fun. I like to do simple things, or I like to do extravagant things, whatever our budgets and the time allows us to do. And I do think I'm an approachable person. I chose this, I won't say it's a hobby anymore. It's something that I really love and have passion for, because this is something that I can do very easily out in the street. I don't have a problem approaching people and engaging in conversation, and I also am a very approachable person. As long as you approach me in a respectable manner. If you out of order, you're not gonna get anywhere with me.
Well,
but
how about a guy just saying hi and opening a conversation? You are a stranger.
Absolutely.
That's acceptable,
yes,
to you?
Absolutely. Because
there's
nothing wrong in saying hello. And let me just say further, I'm from New York. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. And one thing that I learned a long time ago, my father taught me this technique about dealing with people, street psychology, because he grew up in the hood, okay? He said, when somebody speaks to you, regardless of what condition they look that they may be in, say hello, because you never know. That bum that most people turn their nose up at, or the person that's walking down the block that's talking to themselves or whatever. Alvin, you grew up where I grew up, so you know what I'm talking about, okay?
Yes,
you cannot, you know, ignore people, because that same person might see you getting hurt, and they may have to come to your rescue. So,
yeah.
So saying hello doesn't cost anything.
If you
don't want to engage, you say hello. You have the posture like I'm keep going, and that's what you do. But if a person is looking presentable, if they approach you in a presentable and respectable manner, and they say hello, and they want to engage in a conversation, and I'm feeling that, I will allow for that to happen, because this person entered my time and space in a respectable manner.
Right, right.
There it is.
I would just suggest along this same line, because I do like to bring forth solutions, is that you guys meet with the express purpose of dating. Meet at a restaurant, a local restaurant, and you know, talk about issues, get issues on the table. A lot of times it's easier in a group session. It's sort of like a little bit of group therapy. And then that would be an excellent place to find like-minded people. We need to come up with distinct solutions if we're going to resolve the problem. The problem is huge. The disconnect between American men and women is huge. In fact, it's a war. Men and
it
American
is.
Men and women.
Can I say Can I say something to that though? I think I hear what you're saying, but I always, this is my belief. You know, I got some weird, crazy stuff. You know, I already know, you know, some cosmic, you know, energy type based stuff. But this is my belief. My belief is this: whenever there's a conversation going on, that means that there's somebody else, somewhere else, that's feeling the same thing. And so what I know about inventions, and you know, I always say necessity is the mother of invention. What will happen invariably is because there are so many people that do want the same thing, we're going to keep bumping our heads and busting our heads till we get there. Some people might want it to be faster, but what I do believe is that just because we're having this discourse right here, it's somewhere else is being had right at the same time that we're having it elsewhere. And our energies are creating the opportunity and creating the possibility for those things to be bridged. It's going to take it might take a while. I don't know. It may take, you know, a snap of the fingers, however long it's going to take. But because we're having this conversation suggests we want something different. We want it to change. We might not know what it is. Hell, most inventors don't know exactly how their invention is going to look. They keep playing around. They keep tweaking it. Sometimes they throw it out. You look at the Wright brothers. We saw their airplane, so forth and so on. The bottom line is I think we do want it. That's why we're talking about it. So that's why I just applaud this conversation. This conversation just gives me hope that, hey, we're going to work it out. Somebody going to work it out. That's what I believe. I don't know who it's going to. Somebody going to work it out.
Well, as a person who, and Mark and I have had this conversation, we've even had the show before about how technology has taken, has played a huge role in how people communicate with one another and the demise group. I think that there has been a huge demise of how men and women tend to or have a lack of communication with one another because of technology. Yesterday, I was in a texting war for 30 minutes with a grown 1-year-old person who did not want to have a basic conversation as to what the issue was. So for him to be, because he could, and he probably didn't want to come on the phone, not because I'm rude or I overtalk or anything like that, because he and I have never had those type of interactions, but it was his own failing. He did something, and he didn't want to face me, so to speak, by having to talk to me on the phone. So he used his cell phone to get his point across. And I think that was a wuss way of dealing with the issue. And this is what I'm talking about. We have failed miserably, and I won't say that I share Mark's optimism about whether or not we're going to work this out, because I see that communication between men and women has actually gotten worse over the last 25 years. I don't think it's improved because of technology. I believe that there's been a massive decline because of it.
Yeah, but Bree, guess what? One thing we know about our world and our society, if we just look at from the Ice Age to any age, everything evolves and changes. So, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not even about optimism. It's just about everything gives. Everything has to give. There's a level of elasticity in everything. Energy actually flows through all of us. So the bottom line is that there's a lot of contracting. There's a lot of expanding. It's going to always be. That's just how it is. And so what happens is, just like we've seen cycles, we talk about the cycle. I mean, we look at the four seasons. That's an example of a cycle. A woman's body, she has cycles. Everybody knows about the concept of cycles. So everything moves. It's ebb and flow. So, yeah, we're in a place where there's a lot of tension. But one thing we know about tension always begs to be released. It has to be. Just like when you pull both ends. So it might be a snap, but that's okay. Once you have that snap, there's a release. And the bottom line is that we're going to get there. I mean, it's just, we're evolving. We got to look at the fact that when we went from 1960 to 1980, we had six major, quote-unquote, movements. And that's like crazy. You know, from the Women's Lib movement, we had with the Vietnam War, the Black Power movement, the Civil Rights movement, the Flower Power, the Free Love love movement, all of that stuff was happening in the same time. The drug, the actual drug, the whole concept of the drug culture that came out of the Vietnam, all of that stuff happened. We're products of that stuff, and we're working some stuff out. We're having these conversations. I'm telling you, the fact that we're having these conversations right now suggests that there are people, we want something different. Because why the hell else would we be sitting around here this late at night on a damn phone call or whatever, on the radio or whatever, talking
because
about something
it's
that
we like talk radio show. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because
we care about
like this show.
Because we want something different. That's why we're having this discourse. So that's where my optimism, it's not so much in some kind of utopic world, although, you know, it is what it is, but I think the fact that we are willing to, because guess what? We didn't have to talk about it. We didn't have to be on this phone. We surely didn't have to go over the hour to do it. So why are we on this phone having this conversation?
If I text you for 30 minutes, I can't waste your time. We got to hook up. There got to be a plan within that 30 minutes, because if you got 30 minutes within that, now it's 15-15. That means you giving me 15 minutes, and I'm giving you, and you split it in half. If I'm texting you back, I already know how my text is going to be. Like, when I'm going to see you, I want the basics. And if you're saying no to me, that's going to make me text you more. It might go 45 minutes because now the chase is on. I'm sorry. Half of that, I got to be coming for you. You know, I can't.
But it's for end game. You're looking for end game.
Well,
Alvin, most men are not like you.
But they
think
I'm crazy from the way I am, though, because I don't put boundaries on anything, because I don't judge every woman the same. I just, you know, I meet her as her. I don't go with from where I've been, because if I go with where I've been, then I wouldn't date nobody.
I like what you're saying.
You know, I can't. So, you know, it's like whatever energy and whatever she's given to me, I'm gonna see where it's at. I'm gonna see if it's real. Cause I've had plenty of times where they've showed me, well, it ain't going no further. Cause I've said to certain women, I'm like, listen, I'm from a family of seven. I want more kids personally. I would like to have more children. They're like, oh, more kids? Nah. Or it's either I'm too old. I'm like, listen. I'm like, don't tell me you're too old, because in the Bible, they was making kids when they was living to 1,000. So you can't tell me it's your age. That has nothing. That's not up to you. I'm like, that's up to God and how it's gonna come out.
1,000.
Now I'm just saying, people was living to that, and they was having babies. So come on, you can't tell me that it happened. So don't say my age or whatever. They used to tell me no. I'm like, listen, what I said. If you get pregnant by me, I hope it's twins. I want a Wu-Tang Clan. I want, you know, I would lay it on the line what I want. You know, I had to put it out there what I want. A lot of them didn't go for it. So, you know, it was no fight. It was, you know,
I got
to know now than waste my time.
Well, I do agree with Mark, and I'm sorry, sir. What's your name again?
Me?
Hello?
Alvin?
No, the gentleman that called in last.
Oh.
I'm sorry? Hello?
He hung up. Maybe he hung up.
Oh, okay. Well, I do agree with what he said and what Mark has said in very colorful ways at times. And what you just said, Alvin, you cannot limit yourself. You can't put boundaries on yourself when there's something that you want. And we never know what form is coming in. We never know what time is coming. We just know that we want something, not just anything, but something special. And in order to attract that in your life, you have to leave it open to the universe to bring it to you to some degree. And I tell you, of
I
all
say
the
this
shows.
Before you go, Bree, I got to go.
Yeah.
I got to get up early.
I'm getting ready to wrap it up
early,
right now.
Early.
Of
so
all
tell
the shows.
Peace and blessings.
That peace and blessings. Of all the shows that I've had, this has been the most charged, emotionally well-balanced, and charged
show that, I mean, in the history of Bree Life Radio. This has been a wonderful show, and I can't thank all of you enough for giving me this time. You brought some very real things to the table, and I am just I'm without words. I can't say another word. So
this was a good
show. So in closing, I want to remind you all that Bree Life Radio is airing our Freestyle Thursdays, and it starts at 9 o'clock. I'm asking everyone to go on my Facebook page and to suggest two songs or to vote for any songs that have already been listed. The songs that, and it's because I call it Throwback Thursdays. Whichever two songs gets the most votes, that's the song that will be played on the air for all my Crown Heights people who heard our first Throwback Thursday song. I dedicated our anthem to all my Crown Heights peeps, and that's Love is the Message. Love is the message. I love all of you on purpose. So in closing, I have to say peace and blessings, and I'll see you tomorrow. I'll hear from you hopefully tomorrow. Okay?
Good night,
all. Thank you.
Good night,
everyone.
Good night.
Right, good night.
Good night.